about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello. Can everyone hear me okay?
No.
Okay, great.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now, listen, that's how we start the show. Loose and Goose. 591-ROCK, 591-ROCK. Give us a call. Let us know what other words you'd like to rhyme. That's the premise today, right? We're doing rhyming words, guys. Give us a call, huh? Crunch and Munch. There's another choice. These are the type of things we're talking about. Right? Let's do this thing.
I mean, that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything.
I will give a check immediately for $5 million.
Stop it.
And now.
Crazy lady on the afro. Crazy lady behind a tree. I wish the children could see. Barack Obama tried to roofie me. And it's crazy lady on the afro.
Our feature presentation.
Yes, it's over. It's over. We're done. No more baseball. No more boring baseball until next year. We can start having fun again.
Morning, everybody.
How dare you? What an exciting World Series it was.
And congratulations to San Francisco Giants. Yeah. Who just couldn't have done any better. Couldn't have played any better. Couldn't have broken Detroit's heart one more time any better than they did last night. Hello?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Is this thing on? I just think most people in Southern California are probably not thrilled with the Giants. World Series.
Well, maybe they should have a better team.
Right? Very nice.
Maybe all of us who are fans of teams that aren't as good as the Giants should just have a better team. Maybe that would be the answer. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Bean.
So nice to have a girl back doing the traffic.
Oh, you had a girl. Her name was Donna.
That's what he calls himself is Donna. That doesn't make him a girl. Come on.
Used to be Don.
Where is he in the reassignment? Do you know? Have we checked?
He is a she.
it's already done?
She's a she.
The voice is the last thing.
Okay. How was vacation, Lisa?
Vacation was great. I was in Mexico for 7 days. Flew out on Sunday. Flew back yesterday.
Wow.
Got home around 6:30. It was perfect.
You did not want to be here one second of that one.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly.
Well, you were very much missed. I will tell you that.
Well, I'll let him know.
Please do.
And speaking of vaginas, here's a story that you guys are going to love so much. Milan Marinkovic. Seems like a nice man, lives in Serbia. His wife died a couple years ago, and she left a very personal request for him to fulfill. She wanted a stonemason to engrave a replica of her vagina on her tombstone.
Huh. Why?
Wow.
Well, according to this article, her intention was that she wanted to ensure that her husband never looked at another woman.
Well,
It seems logically like there's lots of other places he could be looking at other women, because how much time is he going to be spending at the cemetery?
Unless it's all, he'll see other women.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I don't want you chasing women. This way you will always remember me, she said in a letter explaining her bizarre last request.
Wow.
Apparently, the man, Marinkovic, had trouble finding someone who would, in fact, do the inscribing on the tombstone. By the way, the wife left behind detailed instructions, including photos of her vagina, to ensure complete accuracy.
I was just going to ask how they're going to do that exactly.
Her husband had a hard time finding a stone cutter who would agree to the request. Most said it was blasphemous, but eventually he did find someone who was willing to do it. Now that it's finished, I love it, and it's a really good likeness, he told the Austrian Times. This way, a part of her will always be with me. And here's my favorite part
of the whole
article.
Let me just back up. A part of her will not be with you. It'll be on the stone.
I guess this is how he'll remember her now, is he'll... You know, because this is
having a cement vagina.
I guess, yeah. Although people have seen the labia likeness, as the article puts it, most can't tell what it is. The man told the Sun newspaper that his brother-in-law asked why the bird on the tombstone had such a large beak.
Man.
I couldn't help but laugh, he said. That's one of the most bizarre ways to remember somebody, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't. Whatever her goal was, I'm not sure she reached it. He was probably banging around on her before while she was alive.
Maybe she must have had quite the vajayjay, really.
Maybe.
It does kind of look like, I mean, there is video. You can actually see what the tombstone looks like. This is not one of those stories that appears to be fake, unless someone went to a great deal of difficulty to make it look real. But I don't know. It kind of looks like I guess it's a. I guess it looks like a stone vagina. That's what it kind of looks like. So good times, right?
Maybe she had a stone vagina while she was alive.
That's very possible. That could be it.
It's a realistic painting. A painting, sorry, sculptor, whatever it is. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Spoiler alert, yes.
Andrew Siciliano will be here talking about the NFL this weekend.
Okay.
And how the Cowboys managed to lose again with four interceptions. Love that. We have Chris Hardwick, Talking Dead, about The Walking Dead.
Yes. I'm too behind.
Oh.
I know. Lisa.
Too bad for you.
I may have to plug my ears.
Are we mentioning the thing with the people?
I think we can. I think the shackles can come off. Yeah, sure, why not? Because we start giving away tickets this morning.
So that's not what I was talking about. I was talking about the other thing. 8 o'clock.
Oh, what's the other thing?
8 o'clock.
Oh my God!
Hold on.
Let me change.
Wait, what happened today?
In the 8 o'clock.
I don't have a schedule. What happened today?
Well, the
thing.
Oh,
I don't think we're allowed to mention that.
Yeah. God, okay. You guys.
All right.
It involves a very popular Southern California rock band stopping by, though. That's all we can say.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's Menudo. Yeah, that's going to be fun too.
Yeah, we could probably mention the thing. Yeah, the deal. You know how we have our breakfast with our bands?
Yes.
We like to have a tiny little location, and the audience gets to come, and they get to ask the questions, and we need the drum roll again. We are having breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
Yay!
Awesome. And we start giving away...
Not just Mumford, right?
Right. Sons are coming
Sons
along.
Sons, too.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
So we're doing that soon. We're going to start giving away tickets today.
That's great.
How about that? We are also going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ, find out what happened with the celebrities over the weekend.
Okay.
And some other various things that we think you'll find entertaining. We will take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:51. Does sound like an explosion.
Blow something up at the end of that song. I like it.
Just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, our upcoming breakfast with Mumford & Sons, the biggest band in the world.
Come to breakfast with us, and you will hear us play some music, and it'll be a nice breakfast. We will have croissants.
Possibly.
We will have croissants.
First chance
to win those tickets coming up in about an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll have them for you every day this week here on K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
Oh, sure. You can give away tickets to Mumford & Sons.
Right.
But can you give away tickets to the second annual Ralph Garman Poker Tournament?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I kid because I say it's my celebratory birthday poker tournament. Because it always falls around my birthday. Kevin and I did this last year. We're doing it again. It is San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino's 10K Poker Play. Kevin and I are both avid poker players. Kevin more so than myself. I love to play. I don't play as often. Kevin plays, I think, four nights a week now. Are you playing?
Six.
Six nights a week. We're doing it at, as you can imagine, San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. 10K Poker Play. You can go to krock.com now to sign up. It's Thursday, November the 17th. And here's the thing, if you enter, it don't cost nothing, first prize to the person who comes out on top, $10,000.
Wow.
No buy-in, that's pretty cool.
For no buy-in. Second prize is a ski Lake Tahoe vacation, and third prize is a weekend stay at the J.W. Marriott Desert Springs Resort.
Hey, Ralph, you said the 17th. I think it's the 15th.
I thought I said the 15th.
Okay, yes.
Thursday the 15th.
Yeah.
My birthday's the 17th. That's why I'm calling it the Ralph Garman birthday.
We're just going to stay there for 48
poker
hours?
Tournament. Exactly. Yeah,
folks
going to go nuts at San Manuel. You can go to sanmanuel.com or krock.com if you'd like to sign up for your spot to play. But we have tickets right now. Here's the thing. If you sign up to play, you will get put someplace in the tournament. But Kevin and I each have a table that we play at. If you'd like to play with us... Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First person to get through that says, Ralph, you'll play at my table. And first person to get through says, Kevin, we'll play at Kevin's table.
Slur it so that we understand it.
So I've got a seat at each of our tables to give away right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Let's take a look at the weekend box office as we do every Monday morning. Slow weekend at the movies. Not a lot of people going to see the movies. I wonder if they were afeared of Frankenstorm.
I'm sure that was true in a lot of the country. Yeah.
Maybe that's why they stayed home. Frankenstorm!
It's got a great name.
Frankenstorm.
This has the potential to be the biggest storm in our lifetime, you guys. I mean, this is no joke, this one.
Okay, Doug Kriegel. New one from us. A lot of money at the box office spent this weekend. $12.4 million was the most money.
Wow.
Any movie made at the box office this weekend. That was good enough to make it number one. That movie was Argo. Hotel Transylvania came in at number two. Cloud Atlas was third. Paranormal Activity, four. And then a tie between Taken 2 and Silent Hill Revelation 3D. They each made $8 million. Then Here Comes the Boom, Sinister, Alex Cross, and Fun Size, the Halloween comedy, in its debut, made $4 million.
Ouch.
Not a big weekend.
That's a terrible box office weekend.
Fun Size. Those rumors about Joe Simpson switching teams just won't quit. RadarOnline.com reports that Jessica and Ashley Simpson's daddy slash manager has been dating a 21-year-old male model. Go Joe Simpson.
Wow.
He's 54. The male model's name, according to the story, is Bryce Chandler Hill. For the last year, they have been together, according to the story. Now, some friends close to the couple claim that Bryce isn't that into, into that 54-year-old former minister. He's just using him to get to money and power and fame. So he's just like a 20-year-old girl would do. Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Lisa, you were in Mexico last week, so maybe you missed the story, but it sounds like Joe Simpson switching teams this late in life.
That is shocking.
Getting divorced from his wife and, according to sources, came out to his family a couple months ago.
Wow. I think he's a homosexual.
Oh.
34 years of marriage.
Well, that puts his comments about her boobs in a whole new light.
That's what I said last week. I said it's okay.
It's a gay guy,
right?
It's a gay stuff.
Gay guys do that all the time to him.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God, your boobs are amazing.
Yes.
That's what Joe was doing to his daughter, so it's not creepy. Team Joe. Woo!
Woo!
Never been so excited about a guy saying he was gay before. Ashton Kutcher got the world by the ass. Got the hottest role in television, making the most money on television, dating Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
He wasn't always so lucky, however. Did you know he competed in 1997 for the Male Model of the Year award?
No.
Yeah, he did. He lost that year.
I think that's the year Bean took it.
I think it was. No, actually, it turns out here, Josh Duhamel won that year. So Josh can go, ha, in your face every time he sees Ashton Kutcher. Probably doesn't carry as much weight now as it did in 1997.
And Ashton can go, Mila.
Right. And he goes, yeah, but Fergie. Oh, never mind. And then he walks away with his head hung low. And what exactly is Gangnam Style?
I heard it was like a Beverly Hills style.
That's exactly the point. Yeah, people have been asking since the song became an internet sensation. What is Gangnam Style? Well, it turns out I finally have an explanation. I didn't know, but I read this story in the Guardian newspaper. Gangnam is the most expensive neighborhood in Seoul, South Korea. It is the Korean Upper East Side. It's the Beverly Hills of South Korea, as you mentioned, Kevin. They've got all kinds of designer boutiques there, and 10% of all the land value of the entire country can be found in this neighborhood.
Wow.
So if you're Gangnam Style, you're high-end, you're hoity-toity, you're...
Oppan Gangnam Style!
Let's make a note somewhere, by the way, that Ralph asked a question and Kevin had an answer.
Yes!
Can you please write that down, make a mark of that?
Kevin spent the weekend dressed as Psy at all the parties, so he had to do his research for his character, I'm sure. What did you end up going as for your Halloween party, Kevin? I'm curious.
I was going to go as Dead Carl from The Walking Dead.
I thought you were going to go as Psy.
I was, originally.
But then you didn't want to do the dance?
No. Then
you're going to go as Dead Carl from The Walking Dead?
Then I got sick and we didn't go.
What the what?
Yeah. After all that?
Yeah.
You should have gone as Vomity Guy. Hey, I'm Vomity Guy. That would have been big.
Could have been Bieber.
Party. Yeah, you could have been the Biebs.
I don't think anyone would have wanted to see that.
Probably not. Nor do I want to see CeeLo's Christmas special. What is this? How did CeeLo become the biggest star in America all of a sudden? He's in movies. He's getting his own sitcom. He's on The Voice.
You mean figuratively biggest?
No, he's got more work coming at him than anybody else I know. Every time I read the papers, there's another CeeLo project announced. NBC just announced CeeLo is getting his own Christmas special. CeeLo's Magic Moment, it'll be called.
Bean already said his DVR.
I'm sure he has.
Well, he's got a Christmas album coming out, so I'm sure this is his way to promote it.
CeeLo will be doing a duet with Rod Stewart and the Muppets.
What?
And the Muppets. CeeLo is kind of a Muppet himself.
Yes, totally.
Little short, little arms, giant mouth that opens and closes.
Not as realistic as a Muppet, but...
He's a Muppet. Yeah, he is going to be having his own special, and he's announced that 19 of the rejected contestants from The Voice will also be appearing on the show. Well, that should be exciting. We're looking forward to seeing the losers of the competition on your special, CeeLo. Way to cast.
People that weren't good enough to make it.
That's he knows how to sell it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Janet Montgomery. Oh, I love her. She was
She
was in The Human Target, and she had a short-lived TV series this fall called Made in Jersey that only lasted 2 episodes.
Was she the money in Human Target?
The money?
A Human Target? Who was she in that?
She was the tough chick who was also the cat burglar.
Oh, I liked her.
I did too. Yeah. 27 years old today. Ben Foster from The Mechanic and 310 to Yuma. Very talented actor. 32 years old. Gabrielle Union. She is 39 years old. Winona Ryder turns 41. S.A. Martinez of 311 is 43 years old today. Dan Castellaneta, Homer Simpson of The Simpsons, and many other voices on that show, is 55. And screen legend Richard Dreyfuss celebrates his 65th birthday today. Best part of his birthday today?
What?
Not having to speak to Beer Mug. Remember that interview Beer Mug did with Richard Dreyfuss?
We have to revisit that later.
Holy
we'll have to find
crap.
That.
That had to be the low point of Richard Dreyfuss's career.
High point?
No, I said low point, Beer Mug.
That's a good argument.
High point? That was outrageous. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in a few minutes. Also, we got your tickets for Breakfast with Mumford & Sons. And I wish we could say more about the band that's stopping by in the 8 o'clock hour, but it's well worth sticking around for. It's all coming up here on the World Famous K-Rock.
It's Taylor Swift. We can say it.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, though.
Taylor Swift, her album's supposed to sell 1.1 million, which is absurd.
That's crazy numbers for this day and age, isn't it?
And she titled her album Red to symbolize the ups and downs of love.
Aw, Taylor knows a lot about love.
Somebody explain that to me. Well, how does red represent it?
Well, it's your heart. It's your heart. It's your bleeding.
What does that mean, you're bleeding?
Because you're so sad. Because someone broke your heart.
Oh.
You know. Valentine's Day.
I'm glad we have a girl on the show because I don't understand it either. I don't know how red equals whatever she's trying to say.
Red means love.
Right? It does?
Yes.
Right.
Well, yeah, if you're sending somebody a Valentine's Day card, but how does a song called Red mean love?
Like,
it seems, it's just weirdly literal. I don't know. There's a lot that's going on with Taylor Swift because she's on a whirlwind media tour right now to promote this new album. And she's talking about a lot of things. And I think it might just make more sense, Kevin, for us to go directly to the source. And I believe...
Oh.
Well, I believe we have Taylor on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Taylor. How are you?
Oh, my God, y'all. I can't believe y'all are talking to me on the phone.
Okay, this can't be a surprise. We didn't call you out of the blue. I think
I'm so surprised.
Okay, we had it set up. I mean, you knew. And by the way, you've done a million interviews this week. It's just...
Oh, I can't believe I'm talking on the phone.
You've never talked on the phone before?
Oh,
that's a painful noise, Taylor.
All right, Taylor, we're curious about the title Red, how that means love, the ups and downs of love.
Well, here's the thing about love.
Okay. What was that?
What happened? You okay?
I'm not feeling so good.
No. Oh, please don't do this.
Oh, jeez.
Taylor.
So the album...
Oh, Taylor.
Why does this have to...
So,
it's going to be a long call.
The whole point of calling the album Red was... Oh, my God.
Oh.
Okay.
We caught you at a bad time.
Do you want us to call back, or... Can we please just talk to you for a minute?
Sure. So, the reason... I think...
Did you hear... Did you hear the album?
Yeah, so... The album is...
Why is this happening?
We're going nowhere now. Come on.
Come on.
Well, at least we know now why everyone breaks up with her.
Oh, no.
All right, we don't need bubbles.
No. Come on. Be more specific kind of throw up.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
I have so much vomit.
Yes. Yes, that is surprising to us as well, Taylor, not just you. This Breakfast with Mumford & Sons, Justin Asdown, will be playing their latest song from the album Babel, or Babel, depending on where you're from, coming up next here on K-Rock. Right now, though, how about our old friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com? Harvey!
Good morning, guys.
Harvey!
Woo!
long time no talk. We thought love had died, my friend.
No, you know what? I've been really upset about this because of TMZ Live, these meetings go a little bit longer.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we're doing this earlier.
Me
let's
too.
Let's do it at 3 a.m.
Yeah. About that? That's convenient for everybody.
Okay, we'll get right on that.
So, Harvey, where do we start? How about let's start with this Britney Spears trial, because you guys have been covering this almost day by day. I'm not really sure I know who's suing who or what's at stake here. Can you give us an overview on why Britney and her team are in court?
Let's go back to the shaved head.
All right.
During the height of her craziness, she was inseparable from this guy named Sam Lutfi. He is a kind of weird figure in Hollywood who has surfaced in various ways. In some cases, people ended up getting restraining orders against him, including Britney.
What's weird? Is he like a manager, sort of? Agent?
Well,
what?
That's what one of the things he's suing for is he says he was her manager. Apparently, there's no paperwork to show it. They're saying it's absolutely not true. But he says that not only did he manage her, but he became, you know, her safe keeper and kept her, tried to keep her away from drugs, and said he found meth in the house and brought drug sniffing dogs in the house to see if there was meth, and
okay,
they found little baggies. It's a crazy story. Well, Britney's mom wrote a book and basically said not only was that not true, but it was Sam who basically made Britney crazy, gave her drugs, estranged her from her family and friends.
Oh, it's all his fault.
So he's suing her for defamation.
I see.
And it is a weird situation. Britney is not going to testify because she's under a conservatorship. And the judge said, look, if she's under a conservatorship, she's not competent to testify, which is interesting because she's on X Factor, so she can do that.
Yeah, that's weird.
Right. And if I remember, when that conservatorship was set up, Harvey, one of the things that Jamie, her father, and the others in her team wanted to do was get this Lutfi guy out of her life. They looked at him as the problem, and it seemed like things started improving for Britney once he was out of the picture.
Well, that's just a simple fact. And they got a restraining order against him, and she was, I remember, I mean, I'm sure you guys do too. I mean, it looked like Britney was about to die.
Yeah,
it did.
And she is now thriving. I mean, she's a good mother. She's got
easy
a career again. No, she actually, you know what, guys?
Yeah.
She actually is. And it just, everything kind of turned around. And, you know, they say it was Lutfi was the devil. And right, that's kind of what's on trial right now.
Who's the nanny and why is she significant to the testimony?
This woman was, we think of the nanny as the woman sitting next to Britney when she ran over one of our camera guy's feet.
Oh, good.
But the good news about that, by the way, was we took this shoe and we auctioned it off to charity.
Well done.
This is only TMZ can do.
All right.
But the nanny worked for Britney for about 7 months and said she watched Sam and Britney, and she says Sam is awful.
So it's eyewitness.
Oh, really?
Oh, I see. All right.
Do you think there were drugs involved with what was going on with Britney?
I think there were some drugs involved. The question is what kind. Britney had certain medications. The family believes that Sam was giving her things to not only make her crazy, but to make her dependent on. It got so bad, guys, that there was an allegation in the trial that Sam, this is the sickest thing ever, that Sam would sometimes pretend that her dog was kidnapped.
What?
So she would dissolve into tears, and then Sam would become the savior and, quote, find the dog and bring it back to her.
God.
Really? So it's not just he was a bad influence. He did it on purpose is what they're claiming?
Yeah, I mean, not just a bad influence, but a bad guy.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, I remember, as soon as that came out in the trial, I remembered a picture. I don't know why, I just never forgot this. Actually, it was video that we got of Britney sitting on her front porch, sobbing. And I started thinking, that's probably where the dog disappeared, because I remember hearing something about a dog.
Huh.
But there's actually some evidence that, you know, the dog disappeared. Now, Sam denies doing it, but they're saying that Sam would mysteriously find the Yorkie and hand it back to her and be the savior.
Did he also write the Seven Psychopaths movie that's in theaters right now with the exact same plot?
I hear that's good, by the way.
I heard it's good, too.
What a cast.
I want to see that. I want to see that, actually.
All right, real quick, because I know you only have a couple of minutes here. Lil Wayne, it concerned me a great deal when I heard about the first seizure, even more so when I heard about the second. Do we have any idea what's wrong with this dude?
Well, yeah. Can I just say first?
Yeah.
Guys, you're so white. It's not Little Wayne.
Lil is what he meant.
Okay.
Lil.
All right.
Okay. Oh, God.
We can't keep up with your soul, Harvey. All right, so Lil Wayne. What up? What up?
Lil Harvey.
Well, it was super sketchy. So he was on an airplane going back from the East Coast, and the plane made an emergency landing. This was, I think, on Thursday afternoon. The plane made an emergency landing. The pilot radioed down that he had a seizure. They took off again, and he had another one. So they ended up putting him in a hospital in Texas overnight. Now, for some reason, his rep lied and said that he wasn't in the hospital. The rep said it's not a seizure. Now, we don't know what it is. But the pilot thought it was a seizure, and there were seizure-like symptoms. And I do know, you know, he's in the middle of this trial. He's supposed to testify today.
Oh.
And he is supposed to talk about, you know, this is the whole thing with the Quincy Jones documentary where he says that it was this scandalous portrayal of him, and he's suing because he thinks it was just horrible. He's supposed to be on the stand. What I was hearing over the weekend was he's not going to make it, and the whole trial's in jeopardy, but there's something very mysterious about his medical condition, and right now he's at his mother's kind of resting, but...
Do we know of any disease that he might have that would cause...
No. Hmm. You know, I mean, the guy's had his bouts with things.
Sure.
But, I don't know what this is. I just know that the pilot said it was a seizure, and there were several others the same.
Wow.
So, you know, it just remains to be seen.
Very scary. Very scary indeed. All right, TMZ Live, of course.
Did you guys, real quick, did you hear about this guy, the Tom Cruise thing?
Yes. That's crazy, right?
Oh, this is just a great story. One of his neighbors, I mean, you know, he lives in a pretty highfalutin area. One of his neighbors, but here's the thing about this. This is great. Rich is rich, but drunk is drunk.
So, I've always said that.
This apparently rich drunk guy, one of his neighbors, starts climbing his fence and tries to get onto his property last night, and the security guard tased him.
Sweet!
And he ended up going to the hospital, but it's just bizarre. I mean, I don't know why that's so on a level funny.
There's no history there of anything? Just the guy decided to climb the fence that night?
He apparently just got drunk and tried to scale the fence about 9 last night.
Wow.
Yeah, Tom Cruise's house would be the last house I would try to break into a property. That guy is serious. No kidding. All right, TMZ Live airs weekday afternoons on Fox at 4, and then the TMZ regular old school TV show at 6, and then about a billion times a day in reruns. And don't forget, when in Hollywood with your friends and family for the holidays, take the TMZ Live bus tour too, which is awesome. Harvey, thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
I know you're devastated, Kevin, now that baseball is behind us. Now that the World Series is over, you got to move on and start looking for anything else to watch.
It does hurt.
That's you.
It does hurt.
Let's talk about your love for the Los Angeles Lakers for a second.
All right.
And I know we have a lot of Clippers fans, too. Of course, the regular season is starting this week. But how did you come to be a Lakers fan, especially someone who grew up like you did as a sports fan in a town that had an NBA franchise?
Yeah, I grew up in Phoenix. I don't know. I don't know. They just caught my attention when I was a kid. And I always liked the Lakers. And my mom, who's a hardcore Suns fan,
yeah,
I would call her at home and she'd go, "Suns are on, call back." That was my mom.
Wow.
So, and she loves Steve Nash with all her heart. She couldn't love
him. Her favorite player on her favorite team.
So she'd come over for Christmas or whatever. We'd give her a Lakers jersey. She'd laugh. She'd throw it in the trash. She'd give us a Suns. You know, she's like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she was when Steve Nash was traded to the Lakers, I thought she was going to just end it all. I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen.
Like, life is not worth going on.
So I didn't even call her. Like, I'm not going to call and rub it in.
She was too sensitive.
Because I know she's really upset.
Yeah.
So it was about a week and a half later, my brother texts me and says, "Go easy on mom. She's really upset."
Wow.
And I texted back. It's been a week and a half. I didn't even call her.
But you've had some players that the Lakers have picked up that you hated.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, your team does change. The dynamic changes. Players don't stay with one franchise anymore. They go all over the place.
But there's something
and
about
it's part of sports.
There's something about Steve Nash that I think people in every city that he plays just love him.
Mm. He just seems like genuinely the nicest guy off the court as a great a player he is on the court. He's just a total package.
So I called
my
mom.
Everyone better.
And I called her and I said, I'm not calling to rub it in. Just calling to make sure you're okay.
Suicide watch.
And she said, well, this is how she said it. "I hope he gets a ring, but I'm not going to watch."
Oh.
Well, it's funny that you should be telling that story, Kevin, because we took the liberty of getting your mom on the phone, and she actually joins us now from her home in Phoenix.
Oh, my God.
Here on the outset of the NBA season 2012-2013. Hi, Mrs. Kevin.
What did you do?
Say hi to your mom, Kevin.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Kevin. How did you come today?
I'm fine.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Go ahead.
We were just talking about the Lakers and your love of that team.
I don't love Lakers.
What?
I'm a Suns fan, long time. I watch all the time them.
Yes, right. The Suns are your team. And your son was telling us how sad it was for you to see your favorite player, Steve Nash, traded away.
It's like you catch a fish. And it flops around on the ground. It's like a fish out of water.
Kevin, now you know what it's like when we try to talk to you on the phone.
Was I exaggerating how upset you were?
No, because I just hope the coaches, the other coaches, tips.
What?
You're a person. I don't know your name.
I'm your son.
It is not hard to see where Kevin got it from. Are you surprised, Mama Kevin, that your boy made a career out of broadcasting? Is that the last thing you would have expected him to go into?
He's like in the Blue Man Group when they paint their faces red.
Yeah, no.
He's like they are. They're very talented. I want a good son.
Not going to happen.
I don't think Steve Nash, he's not going to want to spend much time with those Lakers in their dressing rooms come here a couple years.
This is the greatest hits. She's you, Kevin. You're her.
I'm sorry.
Same.
I had a couple granola bars this morning, and I don't feel so good.
Come on.
I gotta go at 17:09.
One postscript note about Kevin and the Lakers. Ralph, have you seen the photo that Kevin tweeted yet of him with Pau Gasol?
No, I have not seen that yet.
Pau Gasol looks like a regular, normal human, and he looks like he's holding Kevin's head up as a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, I'm 6 foot two, and he made me, I come up to his thigh.
Wow.
Just a big, bright head there floating in space next to Pau Gasol. It's the weirdest photo. It definitely looks like some Halloween going on there. Mm. Very strange. How'd you run into Pau Gasol, by the way?
At the Galaxy game last night. He was at the Galaxy game.
Sure. Everybody's at the Galaxy game. Most star-studded of all the L.A. events. Who did they beat? The Galaxy game.
Who did they beat, Bean? Oh, Seattle.
Oh. How about that?
Oh, the soccer powerhouse that is Seattle. What are you talking about?
All right. Listen, I didn't bring it up.
6:55, it's Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I understand Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, but we also, coming up after the top of the hour, are going to give away our very first pair of tickets for you to join us for our breakfast with Mumford & Sons. Just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. What are we looking for this time?
We are looking for your trivia questions about Mumford & Sons. Rodney Bingenheimer, as you know, longtime DJ here at the station, knows everything there is to know about music.
Oh, yeah. He's
so
a legend.
We're going to play Stump Rodney. You call with the question. If you stump Rodney, you go into the drawing, and then we're going to give away a pair of tickets.
So we want Mumford fans with Mumford trivia?
Correct.
Okay. So they will ask the trivia questions, and Rodney will answer.
And 1-800-520-1067 is the number.
Hopefully,
this is the
hardest
way to start off giving away these tickets because no one ever stumps Rodney.
Right. Hopefully, we'll give away a pair, but if not, we'll just have to double up later.
Well,
time for the Showbiz Beat.
I know Rodney's a big fan because you may not know this, but he was the stand-in for Roy Clark, the banjo player on Hee Haw.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's true. It's part of his legacy. Yeah, so he's a big banjo player. Yeah. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, as we do every Monday morning. Not a big weekend at the box office. Not a lot of people went to the movies. In fact, the number one movie only made $12 million this weekend. That was Argo. But that was good enough to make it number one. Hotel Transylvania 3D was second. Then Cloud Atlas, the new bizarre film from the folks who brought us The Matrix, starring Tom Hanks, Halle Berry.
Can't get a beat on that one.
Only made $9.4 million. I've heard it is a three-hour adventure in cinema. That's what I've heard.
I don't know what that means.
Is that good?
Exactly.
Some people think it's great.
3 hours
seems
long.
Some people think it's way too long. Some people think, what the F did I just watch? Those are the, seems to be running the gamut of critical
responses.
Kind of
like
responses.
A tree of life.
Kind of like that. Thing. Yeah, yeah.
Like there's some feeling. Scenes that you go, wow, that's amazing. And then the next 45 minutes is like, what am I looking at?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. But I've heard this is more involving, actually, than Tree of Life, Lisa, because there are some actual stories in this. Apparently about 19 of them all at the same time.
Oh, my God.
So maybe too much story.
Okay.
Paranormal Activity 4 was fourth. Then a tie between Taken 2 and Silent Hill Revelation 3D. Here comes the boom. Came in at number 7, Sinister, Alex Cross. People not responding to Madea as a detective. Apparently.
I almost went to that. It's very
you
close.
Stop it.
I almost went to that because it looks good to me.
It doesn't.
It does.
It doesn't look good to anyone.
It looks good to me.
No, it doesn't.
You can't tell me what looks
I absolutely can.
Really?
Yes.
That sucks.
And Fun Size. Fun Size was number 10 at the box office this week. And Skyfall opened up in UK already this weekend.
It did?
This weekend in UK.
Okay.
It opens up here in the States midnight November 8th, November 9th. You can see it here in the States. But already in England, it is the biggest all-time Friday opening for a movie ever in Britain.
Wow.
It's on pace to beat all the previous records set by the other Bond films as the biggest movie ever. It's already smashed the record set by the other two Daniel Craig movies.
Who knew they liked James Bond, you know?
Yeah. Imagine that. The Brits responding to Bond.
Is it possible, Ralph, since you're one of the few people I know that has seen the movie,
yes,
that after 50 years of this franchise, they've just made their best entry yet?
I would not go as far to say it is the best Bond, but it is certainly in my
one of the
top
best.
Three.
Wow, top three.
Yeah.
When you're talking something. About over 20 movies, that's, yeah, that's impressive.
It's by far the best of the Craigs, again, in my opinion. But it may be the best of all the modern Bonds, like sort of post-classic, you know, Sean Connery era. It's an outstanding film, and I think we'll talk more about it. In fact, I have some tickets to give away in the next hour, in the next Showbiz Beat, for a screening we're going to do, a special K-Rock screening we're going to do of Skyfall.
Fantastic.
So I'll give you all the details about that in an hour. In the meanwhile, let's check in with Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne was hospitalized on Friday. He was on his private jet when he had a seizure, or at least that's what the crew thought. They had an emergency landing in Texas, and Wayne was taken to the hospital. Turns out it was just a migraine and dehydration.
Oh, really?
You know what? I'm thinking I could have diagnosed that on the plane. I said, hey, what's the matter with you? My head hurts. What else? I'm thirsty. I would have said, oh, it's migraine dehydration. No need to make the emergency landing, I would have
that's
said.
It's just a generic form that PR agents use.
Yeah. He's got some legal issues, too. He was supposed to testify in court, and magically, this illness came up when he was supposed to testify. I don't know if there's any correlation between the two. But you guys catch the pilot of the rebooted Munsters series, Mockingbird Lane?
No.
Actually did pretty well for itself on Friday night.
Did it?
Pulled in 5.4 million viewers, enough to give NBC its highest rating in a Friday at 8 time slot in 2 years.
Wow. Now, did it do well enough?
Qualified quad category, yeah, but still, yeah, it's pretty good.
Did it do well enough for them to regret that they decided not to make it a series?
Doesn't seem as though, because it did get beat by an NCIS rerun on CBS and Shark Tank over on ABC. So it did well, but I don't think there's any hope for it coming back as a full-blown series. I didn't see it. I wanted to, but friends who did said they enjoyed it. And the Charlie Brown specials. You know, we're in that time of year. We start with the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, and then then I guess around Thanksgiving, you get it's a yeast infection, Charlie Brown, right? That's the one. And then, hey, holy crap, I got this sweater for Christmas, Charlie Brown, or whatever. I don't know. There's a bunch of them. There is a group of parents who have gone online to campaign to get all the Charlie Brown specials removed from television.
Now what?
They should be retired, says this group of concerned parents.
Because they're not funny?
Well, that would be my group if I was saying we should remove them. But this group says the characters are too mean. They're too mean to each other.
What?
The little kids are too mean to each other. They call each other stupid and blockhead, and they don't include other kids in their parties and their games, and Charlie is bullied. And it sets a bad example for the kids, and they should be pulled off the airwaves.
Wow.
Charlie
Brown. It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
In their defense, Lucy is a bitch.
If you're going to claim everything is bullying.
But she does pull that football away from him every time he tries to
kick it.
She does.
dead whore.
That happens. Yeah. She's a whore. There's no question about
she
that.
She is. Oh, she turned out for the entire Peanuts gang, including Snoopy. That's a fact.
Whoa. That's a fact. Oh, that's not a fact.
That is a fact.
When
look
does
it
that
up.
Special air?
Look it up.
It's that's alleged.
It's a lipstick, Charlie Brown. Today's celebrity birthdays. Janet Montgomery from Made in Jersey and Human Target. I just adore her. I wish she'd have a hit series sometime soon. She's 27 years old today. Ben Foster, the very talented actor from Mechanic and 310 to Yuma. 32 years old. Gabrielle Union. She's a good deal right there. She's 39. Winona Ryder turns 41. S.A. Martinez of 311 is 43. Dan Castellaneta, the voice of Homer Simpson and Krusty the Clown and many other characters on The Simpsons, is 55. And Richard Dreyfuss celebrates his 65th birthday today. Do we have any time for Beer Mug's in-depth interview with...
Let's shoot for next hour.
Save it for next hour? Fair enough. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Chris Hardwick, the star of Talking Dead on AMC, which is the show about Walking Dead on AMC,
right.
Joins us 1 hour from right now
right.
to talk about both.
Grateful Dead. All
nope.
Right.
No, Walking Dead. Garcia. Rodney Bingenheimer. Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary Rodney Bingenheimer from the world famous K-Rock joins
right.
us in the studio.
Welcome to the Rodney on the Rock show.
It's not your show.
Q FM.
still the Kevin Mitchell. But listen, Rodney, the reason we want to have you in here is not just to pay homage to a legend, because you are that.
All right.
Is to make sure that people understand that you're not stuck in the 60s. You're not stuck in the 70s.
No
you're
way.
As current as today's newspaper.
All
which
right.
Which is
that's quite
say,
current.
Not at all current. when it comes to rock and roll, you are up to date. That's my point.
Right. Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Well,
why
that's
would you
not
say that name
example.
Just out of the blue?
Love him.
Okay.
So we want you to help us give away tickets to the biggest band in the world today, Mumford & Sons.
All
We've got
right.
callers on hold right now who have questions about that band. They're going to try to stump you. If they do, they go into the drawing.
Yeah, wig-wham-bam.
All right.
So,
Godhead.
I'm not overselling. You know everything there is to know about Mumford & Sons, right?
Yeah, I love the Monkees & Sons.
No, Mumford & Sons.
Mumford &
Sons. All right.
Okay. Let's start with an easy one for even the casual Mumford fan. Let's go to Amy. She's on line two, and let's see how she does with her question to try to stump Rodney.
All right.
Hey, Amy.
Hi.
Hi.
Stump Rodney. What's your question?
My question is, what does Marcus's dad do that has influenced his music?
All right. Putting on the Ritz. All right.
That's
what did
you,
I win?
That's what you think Marcus's dad does?
Yeah, he puts on the Ritz.
Works at a Ritz at all.
Ritz cracker company.
Is that accurate, Amy?
No, that's definitely not accurate.
What's the answer?
He's a pastor for Vineyard Church.
All right.
All right, what did I win?
You didn't win anything. You were wrong.
Okay,
she stumped you, so she goes in the drawing.
I get tickets.
No, you don't get anything.
All right. Robert Palmer.
What?
Let's try Braden on line five. Let's go even easier.
Can
what
you
does
wait
Robert
for,
Palmer have
I don't
to do
know,
with
can
anything?
You just wait for right. a question, Rodney. All right, Braden, hi.
Addicted to How's
love.
Good, thank you. Stump Rodney.
Okay, what was the name of their first album? Released in 2010.
Name of the first album.
There you go. It's only 2 years ago, Rodney. You know this.
All right. 99 Luftballoon. All right.
Is that right,
win?
Braden?
Sigh No More.
Yeah.
What did I win?
You didn't win anything, but he goes in the drawing.
Oh, that's Godhead.
Right. You understand you've been stumped, Rodney.
Rat.
They've come up with questions that you don't know the answers to, right?
Let's go to Chris, who has an interesting question. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning,
Good.
Lisa.
Good morning.
What's your question?
All right, what was their first EP called?
A Flock of Seagulls.
Was it A Flock of Seagulls?
All right.
No, it was Love Your Ground.
All right, thank you.
Wow, we got some real Mumford fans out there, Rodney. Are you sure you're one of them?
All right, aha.
All right, let's go to Kristen on line eight. This is
Take on Me.
Out of the realm of the music,
big
a little bit, getting into
them.
Getting into some gossip here. Kristen, you're on with Rodney Bingenheimer. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Who is the actress that Marcus Mumford recently married?
Actress.
An actress's name now, Rodney.
Sheena Easton.
That's not
the name.
All right. What did I win?
It is a person's name.
Okay.
Is that accurate, Kristen?
I got it.
Oh, it was Carrie Mulligan.
Yeah.
Debbie
Harry?
Carrie
Mulligan. No, not Debbie Harry. It's Carrie Mulligan. She just said that, Rodney.
Alice Cooper?
Alice is a guy.
All right, Rodney, do you know who Mumford & Sons is?
Sinead O'Connor.
Why are you still saying names?
I'm trying to get the answer.
Let's go to
Billy
Sabrina.
Ocean?
Sabrina is on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stump Rodney Bingenheimer, win your way into the Breakfast with Mumford & Sons.
Tony
this
Basil?
Morning. Stop.
Good morning.
Hi,
new
Sabrina.
Question,
Rodney.
Robert
new question.
Yes, Sabrina.
Okay. How many sons does Marcus actually have?
All right.
How many sons? It's a number now. We're
haircut 100.
Okay. All right. Is it haircut 100, Sabrina?
No, it's actually zero.
Zero. Oh. Look at what she did because the band's named Mumford & Sons.
Love plus one.
Okay. You're right. Rodney, I...
Hold on, Sabrina.
B-52. 38 special.
All right.
I believe that's probably enough. Listen, everybody who got through is in the drawing. Lisa May, only one can win to join us with a friend for Breakfast with Mumford & Sons. Who's it going to be?
It's Sabrina.
Sabrina, the last person.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations, Sabrina.
Thank you so much. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. And hello, Lisa.
All
hello,
right.
Sabrina. Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam.
By the way, we forgot to tell Sabrina when she won her tickets into the Kevin and Bean Breakfast with Mumford & Sons that we're also going to hook her up with tickets for the sold-out show at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
That's really great.
And if you didn't win them this time, and you didn't because you're not Sabrina, you'll have more chances to win on this show this morning in the 9 o'clock hour, and then again at noon, 3, and 6 p.m. VIP access to Kevin and Bean's just-announced Breakfast with Mumford & Sons all week long right here on the world-famous K-Rock.
All right, let's talk about relationships. We were talking last week about Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart and how they were supposedly back together. We're a little cynical.
Kind of think it's for the movie.
We're cynical. We think they'll break up right after the movie.
Yeah.
But there
what do you think, Lisa? I mean, they have been together for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's for the movie, too.
Look, no one has, in the interviews that they've done promoting the Breaking Dawn Part 2, which I think comes out November 16th, they have not directly addressed this. You know, Robert Pattinson has been very coy, said very, very little about it. Kristen Stewart, even less. But some reports say that she didn't sleep with the dude. She just made out with the dude, which is, I don't know, that's something that you could see conceivably him getting over
sure.
and giving her another chance and them getting back together,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Sure.
It's certainly possible, but because there's no confirmed information, rumors are going crazy right now. For instance, Hollywood Life magazine says that part of the condition of him taking her back is that he is making her take a lie detector test.
How do you do that? Can you privately? I guess you can.
Yeah, you can hire somebody to give a lie detector test. Sure. Maybe that's... Look, I don't believe anything in most of these magazines, but let's just assume for a minute that it's true. That would be one way to put it to rest. To be able to put it out of your mind, what the worst possible thing is you think happened.
Right.
If you find out that it didn't, maybe that softens the blow a little bit and you're able to move on. I don't know.
She also has to agree to go into individual therapy and continue couples therapy, and she will pay for both. It sounds like he's really setting the bar pretty high to get her back, and I don't understand this because she's just not worth it.
I don't even think she would register on a lie detector test.
Right. It would go, we can't find a pulse.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do?
Not a problem.
In other words, you hook up Kristen Stewart at her most excited,
yes.
and you hook her up when she's asleep and try to tell the difference between the two readings.
There's none.
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, of what you had to do to get back with your ex.
Mm.
You screwed it up somehow, or they thought you did, and they gave you a list of demands, or they expected you to do certain things so that you could get back together. Apparently, according to the article, she has also given him the passwords to her phone and her email.
Wow.
Yeah, because she wants to prove to him that she wasn't doing anything. I don't know.
Oh, my
gosh. And that she's not doing anything in the future, I guess.
It just doesn't seem like. I mean, really, how many hoops is she going to have to jump through?
That seems excessive
right.
if she just kissed the guy. It's not like she's been out catting around for 3 years.
Right. I mean, you don't know that.
Well, by all accounts,
she is a whore.
By all accounts, she's been doing nothing but pining for him and trying to get back in touch with him and trying to get back together with him. I mean, that's what we've been hearing anyway. Who knows the real story?
Does she know that he's Robert Pattinson?
I think she does.
Okay. All right. Just checking on that.
OK Magazine goes on to say not only therapy, but also that Kristen has offered to get rid of her guy friends, cut out all contact with her ex-boyfriends, and stop hanging out with her friends who are girls who just want to go out to meet guys. So basically, let's get back together and I will become a nun. And I will sit at home and pine for
this
you for the
crazy.
Rest of my life.
This is a terrible idea.
Sounds excessive.
I mean,
I don't think it's going to work.
Cut out all your friends? Oh, that's, what is he, Scientology? What's happening here? But so we wanted to talk to you if you had a breakup, and it was your fault. Maybe it wasn't your fault, but your ex decided that you needed to do X, you know, A, B, and C to get back together.
Here are your hoops.
Yes. Jump through these hoops. Jump, yes. Monkey, jump.
I would imagine that therapy has got to be pretty common, right? That
Absolutely.
Would be one to say, yeah, look, sure. We've got this problem that broke us up, sometimes broke us up again. We're not going to get back together again unless we figure out some way around this problem. So I insist you go to therapy mm-hmm. if we're going to try again. I think that's probably pretty common. Some of this other stuff, I don't know if we'll hear from people that they've had to do this or not. I mean, the whole open book on my passwords and things like that. You tell me who I can associate with. I don't know how many people will find who will be willing to do that. But I'm interested to hear what kind of hoops you had to jump through. 1-800-520-1067. And as a PS for every caller, is it worth it for either one of these two?
Well, that's the other question is, was it worth it for you when you had to jump through the hoops? Because let's be honest, once the movie comes out, it's not going to matter that you took a lie detector test.
Probably not.
At least
all.
That's our opinion.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're trying to get back together. Maybe they're serious about working it out. And maybe this is what he needs to have it happen.
To feel comfortable.
But he knows she's Kristen Stewart, right?
I think he does, Kevin. I think we established that.
All right. This is odd. Lie detector test or anything you had to jump through, we'll take your calls in just a second at 1-800-520-1067.
Right now, we're talking about R. Pattinson Case Due, Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart, who, of course, are being forced to do publicity for this new Breaking Dawn Twilight movie that's coming out in a couple of weeks. And, you know, they're not really talking much about what went down with them breaking up over the summer. But by all accounts, they're back together. I mean, they've been spotted at restaurants, been spotted hanging out again together. And people are putting the pieces together, like, what had to happen for them to get back together? And these demands that some of the tabloids are printing, the hoops she had to jump through to get back together with him are crazy, right?
Yeah, it's cut out all guy friends, cut out all girlfriends that are looking for guys, passwords he needs, lie detector tests.
Sounds like he just wants to lock her up in a room.
Yeah.
Because she's a whore. Let's talk to Grace real quick. Nico, you hang on. We are going to get right to you. But I want to go to Grace first because Grace also did the lie detector test thing. She
oh,
made
really?
Someone take a lie detector test. What were the circumstances, Grace, between you and your boyfriend?
So my ex-boyfriend was an unemployed loser, and I was supporting him. And I was noticing that while I was gone at work all day, I would come home and there'd be like really weird things. Like there'd be condoms missing from the drawer, and I knew that we didn't use.
Right.
So just little things like that didn't add up. So finally I had enough. The evidence was compounding. And he just begged and pleaded and cried and swore that he wasn't cheating. And it was just so convincing that I told him, you know what, why don't you take a lie detector test? If you pass, then I'll drop it.
All right.
So he took it and he passed. And then a week later, and because he's a loser and doesn't even have his own computer, I went through my search history and found, like, he had spent hours and hours looking up how to beat a lie detector.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing. Grace, how did you – we were trying to figure out, how do you even arrange for a lie detector test? Where did you find one?
I just looked it up online. You just Google it. You pay them, you know, $175 and – they hook up your boyfriend and they ask whatever questions you want. What they do, they ask a bunch of questions, like random benign questions
right.
beforehand, and then they ask
base,
the serious
right.
ones. Yeah.
Wow.
And he passed with flying colors.
That's unbelievable. What a great story. All right, one more thing for you. I'm so glad you called. How did he explain the condoms that went missing? That's not a little thing. That seems like there's only one way they would be missing.
He said that he usually keeps them in his – he keeps one in his wallet just in case. And that every single time he goes out with his buddies would ask him for a condom.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
What a great guy he is to provide them.
Six times.
That's fantastic. Wow. Grace, thank you so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What hoops did you have to jump through to get back together with somebody? Let's go to Nico now on line 3. Thank you for calling. Thanks for holding. What happened?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean.
Hi.
Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Well, basically, I had a falling out with a girlfriend, and, you know, we tried to get back together.
Now, wait,
and,
hold on. Before you move on, falling out or you cheated?
Falling out as in I helped her friend get back home when she was drunk, and she's like, oh, you guys did things. And I was like, no, I'm not like that. And she's like, yeah, you are. And I'm like, no. And she,
all right.
She decided.
You're already sketchy, Nico. Tell us the truth. Did you make out with her friend or not?
No. I didn't do anything besides take her home. She was, like, wasted. So
all right, so you're legit.
Took her home.
Okay.
Yes, I am legit. And she decided, hey, you have, I'm super scared of heights. I am like, I get scared on like the Toontown roller coaster.
Right.
So she decided, hey, go skydiving and I'll get back together with you.
What?
So, yeah, and not even with her. She decided to throw me, like, out of the plane, literally.
Was she paying off the guy in the plane to cut your chute?
Actually, I think she tipped him because he, like, threw me off. Like, he just pushed me, like, straight up.
Okay. This whole story doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't.
If you didn't do anything, why did you have to jump through these hoops to get back together with her?
Well, because I was in love with the chick. So,
But why would she make you skydive?
Yeah, that's got nothing to do with cheating.
That doesn't even make sense.
Well, it's like my biggest fear in like the universe.
Got it.
I even like mid jump, mid fall down. I mean, I threw up.
Sweet. This keeps getting better.
No,
all right,
no,
last
it's like,
question.
It's on my face.
Last question, and then we're going to let you go, hopefully forever. Why did you want to get back together with your girlfriend if you were in love with her friend?
Well, I don't know. I just
you're a liar.
I don't get this whole
I'm
story.
Not a liar.
You, sir, are a liar.
I pay taxes.
Nico, thank you for the call, I guess. Let's try Michelle, 1-800-520-1067.
Wouldn't you love to hear Nico's ex tell that same story?
Yes. I think it would be unrecognizable to the story that we just heard. Michelle, what was going on with Nico? Were you listening to that on hold? Could you even follow what he was talking about?
No.
All right.
No. Okay. What's your situation?
Well, I pretty much had a high school sweetheart, ups and downs, breakups here and there, and finally I did the wrong thing of cheating, okay. And we broke up, and we got back together, but of course there was ultimatum, mm-hmm. And the thing was I had to change who I was completely.
What does that mean?
Friends.
Oh, all new friends?
No, even family, and the big one was I had to become a Christian.
Oh.
Wow. You had to change your religion. What were you before?
I was Catholic.
Catholic, wow.
Well,
you know,
why? Okay. What difference did that make? I mean, you're not supposed to cheat as a Catholic either.
Right. Well, he went from actually being an atheist himself when we broke up to when we got back together an extremist as a Christian.
So did you do it? Did you change religions and do everything he asked you to do?
I did, unfortunately.
And how did that work out?
It didn't work out. I felt worse pretending I was a Christian with that guilt, like, oh, my God, what am I doing here, blah, blah, blah. And it was every day, every topic, everything was God wouldn't approve, and I kept having these thoughts, and I'm like, really? Yeah. Like, we can't watch porn anymore?
Oh, well, that's a deal breaker.
That is
right
a deal breaker.
That's no way. I hope you got out of there.
So you're a Christian with Catholic guilt. That's tough. All of that piled on top.
So what did you do? Just throw him out of a plane?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Got a great 8 o'clock hour coming up for you. Chris Hardwick will be here to talk Walking Dead in a few minutes. And then an all-time great Southern California rock band stops by with a surprise announcement. I can say no more. That's all on the way. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's happening?
I do want to give a shout out to my friend Eric Stone Street.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Star of Modern Family, Emmy Award winning actor.
Mm-hmm.
He just let me know that he's driving right now and he said, say something funny.
Really?
Because he's listening to the show.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, here comes Eric. Smegma. Anything?
It's
a good
hard.
Word. Hard, man. It's hard. Somebody
context.
Puts you on the spot.
Put you
and
on
says,
the
go.
Spot, yeah.
Go.
Be funny. Go.
Go. We're going to talk to Eric on Wednesday. He wants to call in and talk to us and say hi and talk about Modern
Great.
Family. So we'll
he was so good in last week's episode.
Yes, he was. He's good in every episode.
Kings fan. Back to you.
Yeah, I know.
Remember hockey?
I do.
Yeah.
That's why I'm wearing my Flyers hat today in solidarity with my skating brothers. Cheeses me off. They've canceled the games up till the end of November now, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's like, what's that, like a quarter of the schedule we've
Yeah,
lost?
Probably a quarter, yeah.
Unacceptable. We just got baseball out of the way, and now they're going to take hockey away from us? The Lord taketh, the Lord giveth, the Lord
taketh and taketh.
Taketh and taketh. All right, let's get to the showbiz news. Before I get to the showbiz beat, I do want to announce I've got some tickets that are very cool. It is for a special K-Rock advance screening of the new James Bond movie, Skyfall.
Yay!
I've seen this flick, people. It is spectacular. Top one of my top three Bond movies. People have asked me, what are your top three Bond movies? I say, in this order, Goldfinger, number one.
That's the best, okay.
From Russia with Love, number two, and now Skyfall.
Wow.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Top three. Daniel Craig returns as 007. Here is the deal. I want to give it to a real Bond fan. I'll be giving these away all week long. It is for a special K-Rock advance screening of the movie on November the 7th. You go to the Sony Studios lot. You get to watch the movie there. It is spectacular. You're going to enjoy it, and you're going to have seen it before all your friends do because it opens on Friday, November the 9th. So if you want to go and you're a Bond fan, I got a trivia question. I'll be having them all week long, so listen up. Today's Bond trivia question comes from the 1974 Bond film, The Man with the Golden Gun, the ninth James Bond movie, the second to star Roger Moore as James Bond. In the film, Bond has to go up against international mercenary assassin Scaramanga, played by Christopher Lee. Great, great villain. Great Bond villain.
Scaramanga.
Francisco Scaramanga.
Scaramanga, dude.
The man with the golden gun. He kills with a golden gun.
Okay.
One gold bullet kills you.
Right.
A bullet from Scaramanga means death.
So does a bullet from anyone else.
Yeah, but this is a gold bullet.
Okay.
That comes from a golden gun.
Right, but how does that kill me more than a regular gun?
It doesn't,
with a regular
it's a cool
bullet.
Way to kill somebody.
Okay. Right,
it's an expensive yet cool way to kill someone.
Okay. It's a classy way to go.
All right.
Bond is sent in search of Scaramanga, and he said no one really knows what he looks like. He only has one distinguishable feature. This is how you will find Scaramanga, 007, by his one distinguishable feature. What was that one distinguishable feature? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call if you know the answer to my James Bond trivia question, and you will get a pair of passes to see Skyfall.
Girth?
Is that what the answer was?
Is that his distinguishable feature?
I don't believe his girth was distinguishable. No, not at all. While we're talking about movies, and James Bond movies specifically.
Penis.
Nope, it wasn't his penis.
Not
yet.
That? All right.
Is a great James Bond movie story today in the news. A woman in the UK has legally changed her name to include 14 different Bond girls in her name. Legally
nice.
Changed her name. She was formerly known as Emma Louise Hodges. I can see why she'd want to change it. She decided to make her Bond girl aspirations come true, so she changed her name to include a handful of the most famous Bond girls in all the movies. Her new name? Please meet Miss Pussy Galore, Honey Rider, Solitaire, Plenty O'Toole, Mayday, Xena, Onatop, Holly Goodhead, Tiffany Case, Kissy Suzuki, Mary Goodnight, Jinx Johnson, Octopussy, Domino Moneypenny.
That's just dumb.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
That's just dumb.
Actually, this is the UK. But,
oh, that's right.
She will go as Miss Moneypenny to friends, because you probably wouldn't want to say her whole name.
Yeah.
What if her name was Asshore?
I cannot wait till she gets a reservation at the table. She's waiting a lot. Your table is ready. Miss Pussy Galore, Honey Rider, Solitaire, Plenty O'Toole, Mayday, Xena, On the Top, Holly Goodhead, Tiffany Case, Kissy Suzuki, Mary Goodnight, Jinx Johnson, Octopussy, Domino Moneypenny. Well, we're talking about movies. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Not a big box office weekend. $12.4 million was the most any movie made this weekend. Argo was that film. Made it number one at the box office. Hotel Transylvania 3D, $9.5 million. Cloud Atlas, in its debut, made $9.4 million. The new Tom Hanks film with the brothers who gave us Matrix.
Brother and sister.
Yeah, they're brother and sister now, but they used to be brothers when they gave us the Matrix. Now they're brothers and
sister. This movie just looks like nonsense.
But it's loud. It's loud. You'll like it. It's loud.
All right. Maybe Chris Hardwick can do a TV show talking Cloud Atlas, and he can tell us what the F is going on.
Paranormal Activity 4 was fourth, then Taken 2 and Silent Hill Revelation 3D were tied for fifth place. Here comes The Boom, Sinister, Alex Cross, and Fun Size, number 10, at the box office this weekend. Great casting news. Seth Green and his Buffy the Vampire Slayer co-star Allison Hannigan are going to have a reunion of sorts. Seth's got a guest shot coming up on How I Met Your Mother.
Huh.
So, it's good to see those guys together again. Mira Sorvino has just been cast in a brand new TV show called Trooper.
Yes, she is.
No, she'll play a New York State trooper.
No.
And recently divorced mother of three in a new show on TNT.
trooper. Hmm. She pulls you over and gives you a ticket. Just when you're trying to get to an event that you're late for.
Is that the
She's Trooper?
Is that the final slogan?
I'm pretty sure they're still working on the title for that. Yeah.
Let's see what else we got. Bradley Whitford has been cast in a new show. Glad to see that. Very talented guy. He'll be co-starring with Malin Ackerman in a new sitcom called Trophy Wife. He plays an older gentleman who hooks up with a reformed party girl. They fall in love and married. He's has three kids and two ex-wives, and she's got to deal with them all. Any of these sound promising to you?
No.
Anything sound good?
No.
Me neither. There's rumors that Joe Simpson divorced his wife of 34 years because he recently came out to his family. Just don't seem to want to go away. Joe, of course, the dad and manager of Ashley and Jessica Simpson. Where it is, he's been dating a 21-year-old male model named Bryce Chandler Hill. Good for you, Joe. 21-year-old male model. I wonder if he's one of those guys outside the Abercrombie and Finch store there in the Grove. There are some good-looking fellows, aren't they? You with me?
No. Get yourself a soft pretzel there in the food court area.
And get yourself maybe a hot chocolate. You just sit there at the wrought iron tables they got set up there and just gaze at those guys in the doorway of the Abercrombie Fitch.
I wait till Abercrombie and Fitch closes, and then I go around the corner to Vaseline Alley. Same guys working
it's
over there.
Not the same guys.
Same guys working over there at Vaseline Alley.
Word is, however, that Bryce Chandler Hill isn't that into the 54-year-old former Baptist minister. He's simply using him to get famous and for his money and clout in the entertainment business. Listen, if Joe Simpson had clout in the entertainment business, Ashley Simpson would still be working. So you want to find yourself another sugar daddy, Bryce Chandler Hill.
You want to talk to your winner, Ralph?
Why not, Bean?
It's America.
I think Trevor was first through on line three, please.
Trevor.
Hey.
I need to know what was the distinguishing feature of Francisco Scaramanga that James Bond had to use to try to hunt him down.
He had a third nipple.
That's right, a third nipple. That's what, a superfluous lip nipple, if you will.
That's why you were yelling that in the hallway.
That's right. Everyone was looking at me funny as I came running into the studio yelling, third nipple! I was trying to give our phone screeners the answer to my trivia question. Congratulations, Trevor. You are going to see Skyfall before anybody else. We'll give you all the details. Hold on, okay?
That's awesome.
I've got five pairs to give away, so we'll give them also to Robert and Jameel and Steve and Sean. They all knew the answer. What if that's Sean Connery calling? You think that's Sean? Is Sean Connery?
I don't. That's not likely.
Probably not.
He had a third nipple, just like Roger Moore has a third ball. Today's celebrity birthdays: Janet Montgomery from Maiden, Jersey, and Human Target is 27 years old today. Ben Foster from The Mechanic and 310 to Yuma is 32. Gabrielle Union celebrates her 39th birthday. Winona Ryder is 41. Getting some angry emails that there's no bell for Winona.
Well, what do you guys think? I think 20 years ago, absolutely. Today?
I don't know. I've seen her recently. She still looks pretty good.
I'd say a tepid bell. Maybe one. There you go.
There we go.
All right.
S.A. Martinez of 311 is 43 years old. Dan Castellaneta celebrates his 55th birthday. Richard Dreyfuss, legendary actor, is 65. Do we have time to hear what happened to Richard Dreyfuss and Beer Mug on the interview?
We do. I think maybe just one question of Beer Mug on the red carpet. What was the movie, Muggs? Do you remember?
He was there for Coma, wasn't he?
Yeah. For Coma.
The miniseries Coma that was on TNT or one of those.
Beer Mug with the amazing Richard Dreyfuss.
Now, Richard, before we continue with Coma, I just want to just go off on a little side tangent here. My 7th grade music teacher, speaking of class of 66, was so gracious that she took us to see Mr. Holland's Opus. And that, honestly, I'm not blowing smoke here, but that changed my outlook on music at such a young age in 7th grade. So I just want to say kudos for that movie. That was awesome. And the other day, I know I'm reaching way back here, not too far, but I saw Steak Out on Cinemax, and you are funny. You are a funny, funny man.
Oh, I'm sorry that Mr. Dreyfuss didn't have a chance to respond.
Are we sure he was there?
It might have been Beer Mug talking to himself at a photo mat.
He still has like the rant. No, it sounds like the rantings of a crazy homeless guy.
He was there.
He drank some Sterno and now is having hallucinations. Richard Dreyfuss is hanging out with him on the curb.
We have another clip from the same interview next hour. I think you'll enjoy just as much.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Just announced this morning right here on K-Rock, our brand new Breakfast With, this time with Mumford & Sons, one of the biggest bands in the world. We're giving away tickets to see them up close and personal with us, and you help us interview the band. Plus, we'll give you tickets to their sold-out show at the Hollywood Bowl. 9, noon, 3, and 6 every day here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's Breakfast With Mumford & Sons. You can get more details at krock.com.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
It's supposed to happen quicker.
On Monday, we talked to our little friend Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist himself, and the host of Talking Dead on AMC after the original episodes of The Walking Dead. But not everybody gets a chance to see it on Sunday night. So we're just warning you right now, we are going to be discussing in-depth last night's episode. If you have not yet seen it, then please go away for like 6 minutes and come back. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
Going great. Thank you for joining us. What an episode last night, and what a risk to basically pull away everybody that we've come to know and love on the series and not show them for a whole hour.
Yeah, we have to. We have to get inside Woodbury. Spoiler alert. I feel bad for people who are just like shopping in a grocery store who can't turn it off. Like, damn it.
I know. But it's tough.
They don't really air us in grocery stores much, Chris.
What? I mean, you guys are huge in the produce section.
Chris, you've been reading the books since the beginning of The Walking Dead. Yeah. So you knew Woodbury was coming, and we had Mr. Kirkman in here in the studio last week, and he said, look, this is what we've been building up to. This is the main crux of the story of The Walking Dead that we could not wait to get to, and it's finally here, right?
Yeah, well, it's really important. Well, first of all, in the comics, the governor looks like an evil guy in the comics. He's, you know, he looks, I think I compared him last night to, like, he's like a night clerk at like a truck stop porn store. But David Morrissey looks like he's a handsome man. He seems very pleasant. You kind of don't know where he's coming from. But I think the most important thing about The Walking Dead is that it's, you come to fear the other humans more than you do the zombies. The zombies just are like animals,
right,
at a certain point.
And I like the idea that the governor kind of looks like he's on the up and up, and he's looking out for everybody's interest, and then you see the Aquarium of Death, and you go, whoa! That's crazy!
Yeah, well, I know, there's no internet porn in the apocalypse, so you have to make a headquarium. That's your main room.
What do you make of the aquariums full of zombie heads? What do you think that is about?
I think it's about, a couple things. He could either just be a complete crazy masochistic sociopath who's snapped.
That's my choice.
But I also think there's an element to it of he's basically reminding himself, he's desensitizing himself, I guess, and he's sort of reminding himself of what the world really is, to maybe to stay the alpha dog. I don't know. It's you just don't know at this point if he's a complete psycho or if it's a very, you know, measured kind of mad control that he's trying to achieve.
You know, we talk about, give me the spoiler alert there if you would please, Kevin.
Spoiler alert.
We talk about how crazy and sadistic he is, but in some ways, for most people, he's a benevolent dictator there in Woodbury. They're living pretty good. Yeah, he's got some rules about what you can and can't do, but I mean, there's no place on Earth that we've seen since the zombie apocalypse that I would rather live than Woodbury right now. It seems like a pretty good deal, right?
Yeah, he's like the program director of a radio station. Inside baseball, he does definitely, you do understand that in this world, the whole concept of good and evil completely just doesn't really mean anything anymore, and it's really all about survival. And yeah, you get into town, and I think that's why they spent the whole episode in Woodbury. It's like, oh, this is a really nice place, and it really screws with what you think of as right and wrong, because you start to go, well, maybe he has to do that to keep everyone safe.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Especially with all the military guys. Oh, that was crazy.
Do you think Rick is going to see it that way?
Well, you know, Rick has his own set of rules because they have their own survival.
Right.
You know? And at this point, you know, Rick's just tethered to his family. I mean, he's really, you can almost kind of see, you know, in 2 or 3 years, would he become the governor? You know, would he get that dark?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great question. And by the way, I go with the governor over Rick just because the governor seems to have food and hot showers. I mean, you can't beat that. Those are hard to come by.
I mean, we really take our hot showers for granted. But in a zombie apocalypse, you'd be like,
cut off my nuts. I'd like a shower. Whatever. I don't care.
You can have my. You can put my head in your aquarium if I can just get a hot shower.
Yeah, exactly. So is the aquarium hot? Is that water hot? Is it hot? Put my head in it and take my kids.
This is the voice of Chris Hardwick, the host of Talking Dead on AMC. We're talking about last night's episode of Walking Dead. Spoiler alert. Let's talk about where Merle's been all this time and what it means to the show to have him come back. I, for one, was kind of happy to see him. I had forgotten about him since season one. I mean, this is a character that we basically lost track of after, what, the first couple of episodes of the first season, right?
Yeah, and everyone loves Merle. Like, he's just like creepy, racist, lovable Merle. Like, they just love him. And I guess it's because, you know, you throw a guy like that into the group, and it just completely screws with the dynamic. And so many questions come up like, well, you know, now that Daryl's alignment has sort of changed, you know, what's going to happen when they ultimately meet up? But the governor definitely has some kind of a control over Merle. And I guess it's, again, it's just the alpha dog thing.
I don't think you want to fight a guy with an iron fist either.
Right.
With that steel.
The spoiler alert, the stump cover with the...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. With the blade on it, which is such an awesome mod.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet. Now, Michonne, who we also saw quite a bit of last night, she and Allison are at Woodbury now. She clearly is someone who wants to really be doing her own thing. She doesn't like being under the man's thumb. Is she, do you think on her mind right now, is bolting Woodbury, or do you think she's trying to figure out a way she can be more of a significant player within the town?
No. She definitely wants to get out of there. She keeps asking for their weapons. She clearly doesn't trust the governor. What you notice is that, you know, all the governor's henchmen just leer at the women constantly, and you almost start to get a sense of, is this where they say you're here to help us repopulate? You know, like, it just feels, there's just this air of not safety, and Andrea immediately, again, because of the hot showers, is like, hey, let's stay for a while.
Time in!
And, you know, yeah, because they've been living in the woods, and so to feel any semblance of organized society is going to... Obviously, you know, I mean, the governor, when you think about it, it's almost kind of a cult that he's got together there. So,
totally.
But Michonne is obviously, she's been on her own for so long, and I think she just doesn't need that. We also don't know the significance of the pets in her life, that could have been her sort of last, whoever those people were to her, could have been her sort of last. You know, any kind
remnant of,
contact
or whatever
of humanity.
That was tough. Yeah, it's always sad to see someone have to put their pet down, though. I mean, we all know that.
everyone in the Talking Dead audience, when we showed the In Memoriam, which is where we show like everyone who died of the episode,
right?
When like they had no problem watching other zombies like get their brains knifed out, but when it came to the pets, everyone was like, "Aw,
because we've kind of gotten to know and like them over the years."
Yeah,
right.
That's the other thing about the episode. Another huge spoiler alert is that you're actually, and you don't really get to explore this in the comics, but it seems like Milton, the crazy, like, Nazi professor
mad
guy,
scientist, right?
Yeah. He seems like a Nazi professor to me.
Sure.
He seems like he does creepy things.
Totally.
But he's actually experimenting and trying to understand the science behind the zombies, but behind the whole zombieism thing and how they work and how to, you know, the governor's trying to dig around and figure out how to exploit them.
Right.
Which is a really, they don't really explore that in the comics.
No, and I love that, and that's exactly what would happen in real life. I mean, look, there's no Center for Disease Control anymore. They're gone, but there are going to be people who are going to figure out a way to fight the invasion and figure out how to turn on it. I mean, I think that's brilliant that they're getting into that. I love it so much.
Well, go ahead, guys. No, I was going to say, you see that on both sides, too, because in the last episode, Carol was practicing C-sections on them, and
yeah,
now that they're done just trying to survive, they're actually sort of trying to understand them better.
I'm glad the unfortunate zombie panty incident is behind us.
You mean sexy zombie panty incident.
Well, right? Another great episode of The Walking Dead last night and a great episode of The Talking Dead, too. And Chris, by the way, as his guest, had the Mohawk guy from NASA on.
Love it.
It seems like a very smart guy and had a lot of insight into the show as well.
Of course, he's smart. He put a robot on another planet.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a smart dude. Hey, before we let you go, real quick, how about a plug for your Comedy Central stand-up special? Chris Hardwick, Mandroid, is going to be world premiering coming up very soon here on Saturday, November 10th. What's this all about?
It's a comedy special. It's an hour comedy special I shot back in February, and it's airing now, and I'm
nervously excited about it. So please watch it. Please like me. I guess that's what all comics are ultimately saying. Please like me.
That is going to be Saturday night, November 10th, and that is on Comedy Central. And, of course, The Talking Dead airs on AMC Sunday nights after The Walking Dead. Chris, thanks for the time, man. We enjoyed it.
Thanks, guys.
On the Kevin and Bean Show, two members of one of the most beloved Southern California rock bands of all time, from Pennywise, Jim and Fletcher, have joined us here on K-Rock. Hey, boys.
Good morning.
Hello.
We have been sitting on this information all week long. We were told you guys wanted to come in, but we weren't allowed to say anything about it on the air, which is very rare, because usually we like to promote your appearances so the Pennywise fans know you're going to be here. But what's the stealth deal going on here?
I don't know. Is it stealth? Yeah.
Why is Jim here? And why is Jim here? Because yeah. I thought the new and that, and he was.
We heard Ixnay on the MJ is what we heard. What happened?
Jim, explain to us.
Jim is the singer of Pennywise, has been for a while. Mm-hmm. Took a break. He seems to be back in the fold now.
Seems to be okay.
Seems to be.
He's sitting
here. So yes, he is back in the fold. We have come to our senses.
Yeah. But it seems like it's been a while, Jim. Didn't you come in here right before you left the band, like 3 years ago or something?
I'm not sure if I remember that. I know Fletcher came in after we made the announcement, but yeah, it has been a while. It's been 3 years. It seems like forever and a couple weeks.
Tell us about your 3 years.
Well, it was an interesting situation when I left the band.
It was really peaceful.
Yeah, it was
it was
very
a really
peaceful.
Awesome 3 years.
Yeah. It was very quiet.
Yeah.
And
he didn't see me drunk for 3 years.
Yeah. Wow. Well, he missed it.
I have three daughters, so there's just different kinds of drama.
Sure. So, of course. Yeah.
And now I'm back into this drama for some reason. I feel like someone took an Ambien, has now found themselves down by the lake, and they don't know how they got here. I don't know how I got back in this room, but yeah. I guess Fletcher can tell us how I got back here.
Fletcher,
how did
explain
I get back
to us
here?
What happened.
You know, it was, I don't know, reminiscing, I guess. Maybe I got a little sentimental. Actually was hanging out with one of Jim's good friends. And
Curly.
Yeah, Mark Curly, and we spent a weekend together or a day drinking and barbecuing. And
you?
No, not me drinking. Yeah, I was only beer. I've been on beer for 2 months now. Only.
Oh, is that right?
Beer and
that's
wine.
Why you don't know whether it was a day or a weekend.
Yeah. That's that's good news for the world that I'm on beer only.
Yeah, it's true.
It's safer out there.
And one of the conditions of my return, by the way.
that actually is one of the conditions. But
no, really, though, is it?
Yeah, yes. Maybe I'll be allowed
really?
Back.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
I said it the
what
first time.
What are the conditions of you coming? By the way, we're talking with Pennywise, Jim, and Fletcher. One of the conditions of you coming back was Fletcher only drinks beer.
I said the first time I see the big bottle.
And he says big bottle. He's holding his hand 3 feet in the air right now. Like they don't even make them that big. It's a lie.
Grey Goose.
Yeah, Grey Goose.
I've never seen a bottle that big.
Like it's a Magnum.
I know where to get them.
That would be on the rider.
Right.
And it would be empty by the end of the night, and I'd know that would be time to go to the hotel.
Yeah.
How about that?
Evacuate.
Yeah.
Actually, but see, the thing was, he didn't even know that I had quit drinking hard alcohol before he made that stipulation as one of his requests.
And you were like, I don't know, let me think about it.
Yeah, and I had to play like some hardball. I'll sleep on it.
But, Jim, how long were you in Pennywise before the break?
20
founding year, member, 20 years,
20
right?
Years.
How tough was it to leave that behind and see the band go out there with a different guy singing those songs that you had been so intimate with for so long?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is what a lot of people don't realize is that we did album tour for 20 years. We had a horrible tragedy happen to the band where we lost our bass player, Jason, who I lived around the block from growing up.
Right.
Wrote a lot of the lyrics to the band with, and then to lose him, and then right at the same time I had my first child, so it was a very extreme time for the band, and then we kind of dealt with that as best as we could for another 10-15 years, and the type of things that happen to bands where you fight and the pressures of different things kind of got to be too much, and I said I need a break from all this, and they said, well, we're not ready to take a break, so they kind of went on. And
did that hurt your feelings?
No, because it was my decision.
You just said, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, when I left, I said, hey, look, you know, I'll help you guys find someone else. I understand. I got kids and stuff. I can't be doing as much as you guys want to do because bands today have to tour a lot.
Right.
And that's how they make the money. It used to be selling albums.
Thanks to Napster. Yeah. Lars was right. Thank you, Lars, for trying.
So Jim, you were at peace with that decision then. You weren't sitting at home pining over it because you were doing what you wanted to be doing, which is being at home with your family, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, there's a lot of baggage, a lot of landmines around that statement. But there's stuff going on in the band that I wasn't happy about, and I'm sure there's...
Fletcher's drinking.
And different things, let's put that in quotes.
It was all Fletcher's drinking?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I thought. No, there's a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, but it happens to a lot of bands, so it was kind of a situation, if after everything we've been through... I wanted everyone to be happy. You guys want to go tour a ton, go for it. I want to be happy doing this. I was ready to try, to do my own record, and I went out and did a record with the Black Pacific, had a great time, did some touring with them. So it wasn't all about the touring, you know. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
But
right.
The most important thing for me is like, this is the band that we started in a little carpet cave in Redondo Beach.
Which we still practice in, basically.
Yeah. And it meant a lot to our friends and our families. And, like, it was such a really natural thing for us all to get together and play music. I knew right when I walked in the door that the band was going to be something cool. And
how did that feel when you walked back into the door?
Like nothing had changed.
It was really weird.
Not even a day had gone by where you weren't part of it?
Band practice felt like the first band practice felt totally normal. And then Jim was like, back in the spin cycle. The arguing started, and Byron started, yelling at me immediately for whatever, not having my guitar in tune properly or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
being late.
He yelled at me,
why don't you show up like whenever you feel like it? I've been here for 2 hours, like loading the gear in and like tuning guitars, and you weren't, I don't recall seeing you here, but I just stepped out to get like a beverage and now I'm getting yelled at. So something's never changed.
Yeah. But we have to take a break. Hold it right there for 1 second here, Fletcher. We want to talk much more about this with our guest, Jim and Fletcher from the band Pennywise. By the way, very happy to say January 18th is not that far away. Pennywise is going to be playing at the Palladium. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. Friday at noon, you can buy tickets for only $20, by the way, for Pennywise at the Palladium. More with the guys right after this in the World Famous K.
I can't imagine why there was any trouble in this band, I'll tell you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Jim and Fletcher from Pennywise, back together, are in the studio with us.
And by the way, Fletcher has the best stories off-air of any guest we've ever had. There's no question about that.
They're all lies.
The news just broken here on the Kevin and Bean Show minutes ago is that Jim is back singing vocals for the band, like it should be, by the way. But we have to ask, what's the deal with Zoli? I mean, he certainly seemed like a good guy and a great substitute guy to step in and be you for a couple of years. How's he taking all this?
He's actually happy.
He's
happy to get the hell out of here.
He's happy to get away from you.
Jim told me he was calling him, saying, hurry up and come back, man. Hurry up and come back.
Let's be honest. Like, some honesty would be great. Yeah, he literally would be calling me. I saw him in Europe.
Seriously. I thought you were kidding.
Is there any chance you'll come back?
He would call you and say, I need you to come back and sing.
Yes, please. How did you put up with this for 20 years?
Wow.
You got to remember, he's sober. He's sober, and he's out there in it's a hellacious world if you're sober.
Yeah.
Working on being on the Pennywise bus. Yes. Bedtime is the sun time.
Was some of it, just because I know your fans care about the band and the people in it, was some of it that he has been injured, the fact that his back is hurt and he literally can't do it right now? Is that part of why he's like, yeah, go ahead?
No. I mean, I think in general, his back injury was his back injury. Me and Jim started talking prior to us not knowing how long he's going to be out for. And right now it's kind of like he's out indefinitely until he probably gets another surgery or something. But I had already reached out to Jim and just said, hey.
Did you make the first call?
I did make the first call. I was going to write him a hate email for like the last 3 years because I was pissed off at him, for not being around. And then I started thinking about not the fact like he was in Black Pacific, but like why he quit. Started taking on a little self introspection. Is that a word?
Sure. Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah. It's not what you're known for.
Yeah. No, it's like I think I turned like 19 or something that day. I moved up from like 14 to like 19 overnight, and I was like.
But when you ask Jim why he quit, he has some reasons that make a lot of sense that you can understand where he's coming from, right?
Yeah.
That's absolutely what I like about Fletcher is he knows
absolutely
who he is.
He's I mean, yeah, he knows. He knows. He know, I mean, but see, I the problem is when I'm drunk, I actually know what I'm doing usually.
Oh,
so,
you do?
Yeah, yeah. I remember everything, mostly everything. And so it kind of was like a little wake-up call. I don't know. I was just sitting around one day thinking about things that are important to me, my family, you know, my friends, and Pennywise.
Sure.
And Pennywise is like 20 years of our life. And, I mean, you got four guys crammed in a bus for 20 years or something like that, or a garage. And, you know, it's like yeah, it's like I always said, like being married to three ugly chicks.
Hey, dude. That don't put out.
Yeah, that don't put out. And that all have issues.
That I know of.
And another thing, it was my birthday a few months back, and I was talking to my friend Mark, and I was saying, you know, here we were, this band had this song, Brohim, from this place, the South Bay, all these really good friends. And our band really brought a lot of groups together, the surfers, the punk rockers, the
yep,
the college kids and the dropouts, and all these people love this band. And we had the song Brohim for all of our friends. It gets played in hockey arenas now, and it yeah, really was this big thing. And I was telling him, you know, how do we screw that up? You know, and now we all hate each other and we don't talk and we can't see each other at parties around town. And like, I didn't want to go out like that and have it continue to be that way.
Right.
So that's why he called me. I was actually at a bachelor party and I get this call. I mean, I was totally expecting us, you know, never to talk again.
We hadn't talked in 3 years.
Wow. Yeah.
And yeah, there was a little bit of animosity going on there.
But I
yeah,
would think even just yeah, band business decisions would have to be made about the, you know, the catalog.
That's what that manager guy's for.
So you're able to go through a third party.
Yeah.
Let me ask
but
you guys
wait,
this.
You got, the call was pretty funny.
Okay. So he
basically erased my phone number out of his phone.
Okay.
I still had your number in my phone, yeah, bastard. I go, I bet you that was a hard call to pick up. And he's all, what? And I go, I bet you that was a hard one to pick up. He's like, who, what?
He didn't know it was
you. He didn't know it was me. And then he goes, what do I owe the pleasure of this call? And I was like, well, I think we should get together for a beer and, you know, hash some, you know, there was no closure. When he actually quit, I refused to talk to him. He called me 37 times. Right?
Wow.
And I just refused to call him back.
You were just angry.
I was hurt. Yeah,
well, so. But another thing we have to remember before we start stepping on the landmines, I took the guys in the band out. We went out to breakfast. I talked to them and tried to have an adult conversation about it and say, hey, then this is what I plan to do. I told them straight up. Said, if I leave the band, I'm probably going to start my own band, do a record, and then I'm going to probably get the 9-to-5 with, you know, and be a yep, dad, you know, and so that's what I want to do.
I can see you being a dad. I don't see you at a 9-to-5.
But, yeah, I know. I'm not sure I'd fit in that well. But you know, it was just kind of one of those things where, hey, if what I've got to offer right now isn't going to work, and that's totally understandable. Music has changed so much, and you guys want to get out there and keep doing it a lot. So I said, I'll help you find someone else.
Yeah,
you're
right, supportive in that.
Yeah. So, right.
But you know, still, I can see why he'd be upset and everybody would be upset. It's a, right, it's yeah, a family.
It is. It is. So I kind of wanted it to go well, but wasn't that surprised when it didn't go that well.
Right.
Like I said, so when we had this talk, we talked a lot about us both having a lot of different pressures and dealing with stuff that happened with Jason and, yep, and our feelings of guilt over that and all kinds of things. But we probably need Dr. Drew for the rest of this conversation.
But I'll only see Dr. Drew if I'm at least a liter deep on Grey Goose.
I don't think he'll ever see you again.
I don't think so. I think you vomited one too many times on
you
him.
You know, the last time I went in here, we went to the store to get some beer. We were early. I was like, where's the liquor store? I asked the security guard, where's the nearest store? And I got a call from our manager like 4 minutes later. What the hell do you think you're doing? I'm like, getting some beer. He's like, Dr. Drew's out the door right now. Like, if you show up there with any beer or any alcohol in your breath, the show's over. And I was like, whoa, okay. It's only
but
beer.
Fletcher,
it's like
you're
going to
be so
me,
entertaining on Celebrity Rehab when that finally happens.
Oh, come on. I'll listen, look at how normal I am.
Yeah, no, you sound good, but yeah, you're still Fletcher. Hey, that damage just doesn't go away because you stopped drinking the hard stuff.
I'd be the center of like a crying in there with Don Dokken.
Let me ask you this, Jim. Metallica took a lot of heat, a lot of ribbing from their fans when the movie came out and everybody saw that they had gone to a therapist. Did you have any kind of mediator, anyone in between to kind of manage those early conversations so that they didn't just turn into fights?
No. Oh, I mean, the ones recently?
Yeah.
No, not at all. And that's what I think was really cool. And the big man stepped up, you know, when he called me and said, hey, let's just have a talk. And I fully expected him to show up at the talk, like he usually does with a posse of three people,
right?
You know, to kind of bounce his ideas off. But no, we just went into a local bar, Schooners, in Manhattan Beach, and started talking. But the problem was there was this one of our dad's friends that kept harassing us the whole time.
No, the hilarious thing, no one knows we haven't talked in like 3 years. And immediately, the first thing that happens, I look over, I haven't seen Jim in 3 years. Maybe right. One time, and I was like, hey, what's up? I shake his hand, and then some guy's like, hey, Fletcher, what's up? And like within 1 minute, we're doing a photo shoot. And then we got another guy come up, Fletcher, is that you? And then like this guy that printed our first T-shirts is like, we're sitting at a table, we're over in the corner, and I told this one guy, I'm like, look, all the drinks are on me. He's like, you know, 65-year-old dude. I'm like, just stay over there while you don't
leave
understand.
Us alone so we can
like,
talk.
We have, like, this is a pretty important conversation, and right. We've got it interrupted like at least 40 times by people.
Wow. Whereas, so how many meetings did it take from, hey, let's at least be friends and let's be civil to one another to, wow, I think this is workable and I can really rejoin this band?
Well, you know, that's typical Fletcher style. Like, once it happens, like, okay, good, we're good, so let's get back
that's
out
it.
There. Let's
yeah.
go.
No, it was weird because, I mean, the meeting went, like, way better than I thought it would. It was kind of a weird – I didn't really expect – you know, we kind of just both told each other how we were feeling
right.
about, like, the pre-situation.
Which doesn't always right. go well.
Right, yeah. But it was more about listening and trying to understand the other person's thing.
Tough, right.
And, you'd come out on the wrong end of that, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would definitely. Yes, you are quite
and, you
perceptive,
know,
young man.
Really, that was the thing that was really cool. Is he admitted stuff. I admitted stuff as well. You know that those type of things happen. But the cool thing is now, and one thing that I look back on it and say is that, like, just the other night I saw X play, and just one of my all time favorite bands, and to see the original lineup play those songs is so important to me. And it wouldn't be different if it wasn't John Doe or Exene there, and it wouldn't be the same. And so,
which is the same as your fans feel.
Yeah, and Zoe's a great guy for filling in, and but at the same time, I know there's people all over the world, whether it's Australia or Japan, that want to see that and want to hear those songs. And
of
so,
course.
I think it's cool that we're back and we're excited to play together again.
I mean, Pennywise fans are. We always say that we have the best fans in the world, and it's true. I mean. You know, they totally supported us with Zoli, which was cool. But, you know, it was obvious from the minute Jim quit that everyone wanted, you know.
Well, of course.
Wanted him still in the band. And then there was a lot of, you know, bring Jim back, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And we were just, you know, both doing our.
That was me. I was holding the sign.
Yeah.
Bring Jim back.
Jim had a bunch of different aliases on Facebook. He's just sitting there all day long. Get him back. Get him back.
Yeah, that was happening.
But it was just the right thing. Like, you know, I mean.
It sounds like it.
You just sit back and you kind of look back and go, we spent 20 years building this. And yeah, we had some differences. But you know what? Like, they're half the. Three quarters of it is like irrelevant, just lame stuff.
Are you allowed anymore to jam a hot dog in your nose? Is that acceptable or not acceptable?
I don't know if I'll do that while beer buzzed.
Okay.
It might be a vodka thing.
Not
only.
Enough buzz. All right.
We're out of time.
I'm allowed to.
We're out of time. Jim and Fletcher here from Pennywise. If you missed the announcement, Jim's back singing for the band January 18th at the Palladium. The band is going to be playing. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning. Excuse me, Friday at noon for just $20 to see Pennywise with Jim singing at that date. If we interview you guys 1 year from today, will you both still be in Pennywise?
We might have a therapist sitting here, Metallica. I mean, we always said we watched that Metallica movie. We're like, this is like It's a Small World at Disneyland compared to Pennywise. Like,
right?
Like
their problems compared to your problems.
Oh my god! It was like preschool.
I don't know that you could find a therapist that could deal with that.
We will be here in a year.
Okay. Yeah.
You think this is a long term fix?
This is how we go out. This is how we ride the
on
train
tour
out.
Bus off a cliff. Well,
that's the best news. What?
With me driving, that'll be the night I get back on the bottle.
sorry, kids.
Thanks for coming in, guys. We appreciate it.
All right, man.
Thank you.
J.
Hey, guys, more Mumford & Sons tickets to our Kevin & Bean Breakfast With and tickets to see the band at the Hollywood Bowl coming up next there. Plus, Andrew Siciliano joins us to talk the NFL weekend. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
I'm always perplexed by the propositions on the ballot
too.
When I vote.
Yeah.
J and B and all these propositions. So I've figured out a foolproof way to vote for them.
Because you hear they're lying.
Who do you believe?
Yeah.
What I do is I vote for any proposition which its letter is in my name. I vote yes on.
Okay.
I see.
Okay. R-A-L-P-H.
Any of those.
Okay.
Joseph. My middle name is Joseph, so J counts.
Okay.
Anything that's in my name, any letter that's in my name, yes.
any letter that's not in my name, no.
That's well, I think I that's a responsible way of handling it.
I think so, because reading them just takes so much time.
It's a lot of work.
Much easier. If I recognize that that letter's in my name, then I vote yes.
All right.
So, I am very J. And by the way, hard yes on R. Because R is in my name twice.
No one, B, though.
No, there's no B in my name. Yeah, what am I going to do? Huh. It's not my fault. They should come up with a better letter. You want my vote? You got to come up with a better letter. So there's your civic lessons for today.
Sweet.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Nope. Yeah. Not going there yet. I'm just so desperate to get to the Richard Dreyfuss interview with Beer Mug.
I feel like
it's top of the hour. Let's just do it.
We can.
Let's just cut to celebrity birthdays because we're out of time. For showbiz news, nothing much happened today. Anyway, but we are celebrating Richard Dreyfuss' birthday, star of Jaws, star of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Mr. Holland's Opus, just a terrific screen actor in so many good films. Yeah. And Beer Mug captured him on the red carpet and had to just suffer through a Beer Mug interview. So we've been playing clips since his birthday is today. He's 65 years old today.
And last hour, we had a clip that we all couldn't help but notice Richard Dreyfuss was unable to get a word in edgewise.
Right.
I believe we do hear from Mr. Dreyfuss at some point in this interview question with Beer Mug.
I am here with the legend, Mr. Richard Dreyfuss. I had mentioned to one of my coworkers before I came here today that I was going to be interviewing the legendary Richard Dreyfuss about a miniseries called Coma. And she got really excited. She's like, oh, Coma. I saw a movie called Coma about patients going into a hospital for very minor things and all of a sudden them just going into comas.
This is real, by the way.
And she says, I wonder if it's the same thing. Now, it was an original film by Michael Crichton.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Dreyfuss with Beer Mug.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
There it is.
You would think Beer Mug would know something about the project before he started talking to the star of it.
I wouldn't. Not anymore. We've learned.
Like, Michael Crichton wrote the book, Coma, which the film feature film was based on, but this miniseries was also based on that original book.
I like how he has to catch Richard Dreyfuss up on the conversations he had with his friends before.
I was talking to a coworker. Oh, he's thinking himself, this is going to be a long story because he's starting with the coworker. He's not even gotten the car to come to the interview yet. What's going to happen?
If you've starred in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, don't you deserve something better than that?
Of course you do.
He's also not exactly wacky.
If you starred in one of the Madea movies, you deserve better than that.
Come on. No, come on. There's no defending that.
Rest of today's celebrity birthdays. Dan Castellaneta, Homer Simpson from The Simpsons, is 55 years old today. Winona Ryder celebrates her 41st birthday. Gabrielle Union is 39. Ben Foster, very talented actor from The Mechanic and 310 to Yuma, 32 years old. And actress Janet Montgomery from Maiden Jersey and The Human Target is... Oh, she deserves a better bell than that.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Robert White from Lakewood, thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You just won your VIP access tickets to Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Mumford & Sons and also sold out tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl. That's a pretty good deal. We got it going on all week long here at K-Rock at 9 a.m., noon, 3, and 6. So your chance to win with Cat Corbett coming up at 12. How about Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel on Sundays joining us on the phone as he does on Monday. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm sitting here watching CNN, and there's a dude in Lindenwood, New Jersey. I'm sorry, New York, who is in full scuba gear in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And he claims that he's going to just stay, and the water's already up, like, you know, to his navel, saying, no. I got scuba gear. I'm fine.
Yeah, let that guy stay.
Wow.
I know that the media are accused of hyping up weather events, but this one, it doesn't seem like it's possible to overdo the precautions. This looks like the biggest storm in our lifetime, Andrew.
Well, yeah, I was reading, and I don't pretend to be a meteorologist, but I was reading, well, I guess the head of the Weather Channel wrote something online last night that I know went viral and made its way around pretty quickly, where he basically said, listen, I know you guys think we're generally full of it, but we're not. This is... I mean, it is an unfathomable combination of circumstances that are leading to this storm. We're not kidding. Get the hell out.
Yeah, bad deal. Hey, I'm glad the Monday night game's in on the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking last night. I mean, even let's say if the Eagles and Falcons, for example, had been a Sunday night game rather than a Sunday 1 o'clock Eastern time game in Philadelphia yesterday,
right,
or the Jets game maybe had been a night game.
Right.
I would think they'd have to cancel them last night. I mean, thankfully, that wasn't the issue in football, at the least of anyone's concerns.
Yeah, it's a mess for sure. Hey, since you brought up the Eagles, somebody, I think it was Bill Simmons who tweeted yesterday, he said, have the Eagles given up on Andy Reid, or do they just suck? What's going on with Philadelphia this year? Certainly not meeting the expectations that a lot of people like Ralph had at the beginning of the season.
And it's a lot of things. I mean, Andy Reid was put on notice by the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, before the season began that last year's 8-8 was unacceptable, considering after all the money they spent, and that this year, despite Reid's, you know, what, I mean, decade and a half tenure, that they had to win. They had to win now. And they're not. They're not playing well. They haven't responded well. And I think it gets to a time, and players will tell you, and GMs will tell you, and owners will tell you, that whether it's the NFL or baseball or the NBA, that there comes a time where the message just no longer cuts through.
Right.
There comes a time where a coach's tenure needs to come to an end. And I'm not suggesting the guy needs to get fired, but there is a lot of talent there. And sure, there are offensive line issues and there's secondary concerns, and their defensive coordinator was fired last week, although the new guy, Todd Bowles, didn't do much of a better job yesterday against Atlanta. But there comes a time where you just say, you know what, we need to start over. And unless things turn around quickly, I think that might be that time in Philadelphia. And Michael Vick comes out after the game and says, yeah, they're thinking about benching me. Andy Reid did not say that, at least not publicly. Vick said it, which is somewhat of a head-scratcher, but I guess Vick gets credit for some self-realization.
Right. Let's talk about the craziest game of the day. What was the lead that the Giants blew at one point in the Cowboys game? Was it 23?
I think it was 23-0. The game was over, and we were writing Cowboy punchlines. I mean, it was ridiculous. The game was over, and people were laughing, and the Cowboys somehow came back, and they coulda, woulda, shoulda. I mean, look, Dez Bryant's hand. I mean, turn your hand over, right? I mean, your hand hit, put it on the floor. That's how close they were to rallying back and miraculously beating the Giants. It was one of the most amazing games anyone has seen in years, and the Cowboys couldn't finish it.
Mm. Yeah, it's insane with all those turnovers. But I mean, Eli Manning, isn't he the current king of the comebacks? I mean, that's what got him those Super Bowl rings, right?
Yeah, and he did it last week too. You know, I mean, it looked as if the Redskins had beaten them. RG3 had you know, started to write another page in his ridiculous rookie legend, and Eli calmly moves him down the field in like 10 seconds. And the Giants, I mean, some of the Giants after last week's game, I think it was Justin Tuck, he said, if you put the camera on me on the sideline when Eli threw the touchdown pass to Victor Cruz, I didn't even smile because I knew he was doing it. There was nothing there that I didn't expect to
wow.
see happen. So the Cowboys, though, the Cowboys, it's like it's the same movie and you know how it's going to end.
And how brutal to be down 23-0 and then take the lead and then lose.
Well, I had left. I mean, it was only one game left. So I left the Red Zone channel at like 4:30. I left DirecTV because when there's only one game, I have nothing to do here. Watch the damn game. It's on 7:14. And I'm driving home, and I was listening in my car to the Cowboys broadcast. And so, I mean, the emotions, the ups and downs, they said it themselves. There has not been an emotion that we have not experienced today, which is embarrassment and shock and anger and disgust, the hope and happiness and shock again, and then they rip your heart out.
It was terrible.
And then they knew it too, because you know they called the touchdown, then they look at the replay, and the Cowboy guy, Brad Shamble, calls the hands. He looked at the replay and said, all right, this is not going to be a touchdown.
Ugh,
brutal. And you could just hear the deflation, but it's why we love sports, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, for the most part, at least.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. This is the voice of Andrew Siciliano here on the Kevin Bean Show, NFL Total Access, Monday through Thursdays on the NFL Network, the Red TV Red Zone on Sundays. I have to ask, Andrew, you've been a football fan probably your whole life, I imagine, since you were a little boy. You've been following these games, all these teams, all these years. Have you ever seen a worse throwback jersey in your entire life than the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday?
That made me nauseous. I actually physically ill. I didn't eat the entire show.
It was hard to watch. It was watching bumblebees, wasn't it?
So they were rugby uniforms.
Kevin, did you see them?
I did not.
You know the ones
no.
we're talking
no,
about?
No, I didn't see them.
They were black and yellow stripes like the little bee girl in the Blind Melon video. That's what they were running around in all day long.
That's the perfect way. I wish I had thought of that yesterday. They were the bee girl in the Blind Melon video. They were worse than that. They looked like rugby uniforms. They looked like they should be playing in London.
Wow.
Not the Patriots and the Rams, but they played in the mud. I mean, and the rain, because the storm, even yesterday,
was already reaching Pittsburgh. So, I mean, they're that far to the west, and they already had the rain and the cold front and all that, and they were just, I'm surprised that the players agreed to put them on.
I'm surprised
they didn't have a mutiny.
Honestly, they looked like pajamas or something. If you haven't seen them, do yourself a favor and Google some images for yesterday's Steelers throwback uniforms. It was unbelievable.
They looked
all
like
right.
inmates, didn't they? Yes. They looked like yellow and black inmates.
Everything we've said. All right, real quick. Kevin's Arizona Cardinals tonight. He has already given up, understanding they have no chance against the
49ers. Oh, they're going to win tonight.
Is he wrong?
Well, they're really good at home. I'll say this. Correct me if I'm wrong. They still do not have any discernible offense other than Larry Fitzgerald. Correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Then they're going to lose.
Yeah.
and that's for recreational purposes only.
Of course.
Past performance, not necessarily indicative of future games.
Absolutely. That's tonight's game on ESPN. Don't miss Andrew on the NFL Network at 4. Thanks, man. We appreciate the time.
Good night.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41.
Oh, for God's sake. Can't you swallow?
I was trying.
Swallow, bitch.
I was trying too quickly before that song ended, but then it just ended.
You're not hiding that you were eating, by the way. That is not
I was
a
trying.
That is Passion Pit. Take a walk here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us for another look at the Showbiz Beat at 9:41. What's going on?
Well, it is Monday. That means we take a look at the box office over the weekend. Lackluster, to say the least. The number one movie, Argo, this weekend, was at the top of the list after making just $12.4 million.
It's nothing for a number one movie.
That is not a lot of people going to the movies. Mm-mm.
But it's not terrible box office for a film that's already been out for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's a sizable hit, this Argo, right?
Yeah, sure. I'm not saying it's doing poorly. I'm just saying if $12 million is the number one film at the box office.
Yeah, that's weak.
It's a lot of people not going to the movies.
Had to be Halloween parties, I guess, had to be some of it. World Series, maybe, for some people. I mean, there's a lot of things going on.
No. Who cares about baseball? Hotel Transylvania, 3D, $9.5 million, made it number two. Cloud Atlas had a debut this weekend, only made $9.4 million. A lot of people scared off, I think, by the reported density of that film.
Density?
A lot going on in that film. A lot of it sort of surreal, impressionistic, if you will. And its length of almost 3 hours, I think, scared some people off.
And by the way, I love Tom Hanks. He's a terrific actor, obviously. But some of the trailer, he looks kind of ridiculous in some of those outfits
How
and makeup
dare
and everything.
You, sir.
Doesn't he? Some of it just doesn't look realistic or good.
It's not for me, I'll tell you that.
No, it's not for Kevin. Hmm. Paranormal Activity 4, that's for Kevin.
That's for me, I saw that.
It was fourth on the list, made $8.7 million. Then it was a tie at 5 with Taken 2 and Silent Hill Revelation 3D. Here comes the boom. Was seventh, Sinister, Alex Cross, and Fun Size. In its debut, just made $4.1 million. That made it number 10 for the weekend. Over in the UK, they're enjoying Skyfall, the new James Bond movie. Opened up over there. Usually they open there before they come here because James Bond is sort of their national hero. Biggest all-time Friday opening ever for a movie in England this weekend with Skyfall. Smashed the previous record set by the other two Daniel Craig 007 movies. It was also number one in 26 other countries in which it opened. I'm expecting the same for here in the States when it comes out on the 9th. I have seen it, and I'll be giving away tickets to our special K-Rock screening of Skyfall all week long, so make sure you tune in for the Showbiz Beat. While we're talking about movies, congratulations to my personal hero of the week, Anthony Hustlin' Tone Johnson.
Huh?
Anthony Hustlin' Tone Johnson. He was known as Hustlin' Tone.
No, he wasn't.
Anthony was. Yeah, he was Hustlin' Tone.
No one's known that.
He was known as Hustlin' Tone. Why? Because he was always hustling, making a dollar. Not a legitimate dollar, not a legal dollar. But he was convicted on Monday by the U.S. District Court jury on 7 charges of using a stolen credit card and 2 charges of identity theft. Here's how Hustlin' Tone would get his credit cards.
Okay.
He would slither underneath movie seats in movie theaters, stealing credit cards out of women's purses that they had left on the floor.
Oh!
He was like a snake. He was just writhing along the floor, going underneath seats in between rows, sneaking credit cards out of women's purses.
Can you imagine watching
slithering around the floor of a movie?
Watching a movie and feeling that at your feet?
Next thing you know, Hustlin' Tone is reaching into your purse. Johnson had accomplices, usually female,
who would choose the chick flicks that they would intend to make sure there were plenty of purse-toting women in attendance. They would put their purses on the floor, and Hustlin' Tone, along with his accomplice, who would, they would look over and see where the girl was keeping her purse. They'd give him the high sign. He would go over, slither over there, slither his hand in there, and slither their credit cards right out of their pockets.
How did somebody else not see him on the floor of the movie theater? It seems like it'd be tough to pull that off.
It does.
I don't know. Maybe people didn't have their night vision goggles on, or maybe they were watching the movie. They got preoccupied. But
Lisa, where do you put your purse when you go to the film?
Sometimes I put it on the floor. Sometimes I put it in the chair if there's an empty chair by me.
You know what the problem with the floor is?
It smells like donkey ass.
No. Hustling Tones on the floor. That's the problem.
That is it. I'm never doing that again.
Between 2008 and 2010, Hustling Tone and his female accomplices made more than $90,000 worth of unauthorized purchases with those credit cards. How about that?
They made more than the Madea movie.
So, I don't appreciate the illegality of Hustlin' Tone's activities, but I have to give him points on style and gumption. You got gumption points today, Hustlin' Tone. Congratulations. He's going to be sentenced later on this week. He could get as much as 12 to 15 years. So we'll have to wait and see. Good old Hustlin' Tone.
Jail seems better than the floor of a movie theater.
I agree.
Not if you're Hustlin' Tone. Mm-hmm. I think you'd be known as Hustlin' Ralph by the rest of the day. If you could. Yeah. Rebecca Romijn just got cast in a new TV series for TNT called King and Maxwell.
Does it look good, Hustlin'?
He's got a pair of ex-Secret Service agents who use their skills to tackle criminal cases.
It could be a good show. It needs a new title. Stat.
Come on, King and Maxwell.
Nope.
That's a terrible title.
King and Maxwell.
That's horrible.
How about Trooper? You want to go see Trooper?
What's that?
Again, new title.
Trooper is a new TV show. It's going to be on, let me see where this is going to be. It's going to be on TNT. Also, Mira Sorvino will play a New York State Trooper, who's also a recently divorced mother of three. She's Trooper.
Nope.
She stops you on the interstate, and she will tell you your lights are out. She's Trooper. All right, maybe not the most exciting. Charlie Brown specials, seasons upon us. I don't know if they've already played at the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Bean would know.
Has that aired yet, Bean? I have not seen it this year yet, so I assume it's still to come this week.
But we got Good Grief, Christ Was Born, Charlie Brown, whatever that one is.
I remember that one.
Anyway, a bunch of specials. There's a special interest parents group that is demanding all the Charlie Brown holiday specials be retired from television. Pulled from the airwaves, they're demanding. Why? Because the kids are too mean to each other.
Aww. Well, they do pick on Charlie Brown.
Oh, they sure do.
Quite a bit. Bean.
They sure do. Look.
I mean, he's a blockhead, though.
They call him a blockhead. They call him stupid. They're mean to each other. Sometimes they don't invite each other to each other's parties. They don't give out Valentine's to everybody. They're mean, those kids. Peanuts kids.
And why now? Haven't those specials been around for 40 years.
Every year.
Charlie Brown fixed Snoopy with hedge clippers. I'm telling you, they're mean.
I don't think that happened.
They're mean kids.
But isn't this, look, I'm not a parent, you guys, but isn't this an opportunity, if you choose it to be, to sit down with your kids and go, wow, they sure are mean to Charlie Brown, right?
Yeah.
They shouldn't be like that, right?
If your parents had done that with you, Bean, you would have handled us a lot better on in your life,
I think.
That's
true.
Yeah.
I blame Chief.
It doesn't mean that, just because that storyline is told on television doesn't mean it's promoting that behavior.
Listen,
that's my point.
Your point is well taken. These people are way too sensitive about ridiculous things.
Stop it.
What are you going to do? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Janet Montgomery, who starred in the sadly now departed Made in Jersey TV series. She was in Human Target. Very talented, lovely British actress, 27 years old today. Ben Foster from The Mechanic and 310 to Yuma is 32. Gabrielle Union. You Think Like a Man, Deliver Us from Eva. She's been a bunch of stuff. A lot of TV work as well. Very talented. 39 years old today. Winona Ryder is 41. S.A. Martinez of 311 is 43.
Go Raiders.
Dan Castellaneta. From Homer Simpson on The Simpsons all the way to Krusty on The Simpsons. He is 55 years old. No, he does a bunch of voices. He does Abe, Homer's dad, does a bunch of funny voices on that show. And the legendary movie actor Richard Dreyfuss, the man who starred in Jaws, in Close Encounters,
in What About Bob? That's a funny movie. Him and Bill Murray.
That is good.
Yeah. He is 65 years old today, and all day long we have been honoring his birthday by playing bits and pieces of Beer Mug's fascinating sit-down interview with Richard Dreyfuss, a man whose career literally spans decades. Our own Beer Mug had a chance to sit down with him and really get to know the performer and the projects he's been working on. It's a skilled journalism on Beer Mug's part, as we discovered.
Back to Coma. Did you watch the original film, and did you take anything away, or did you just kind of...
The original film when it came out, but that's 30 years ago.
And so you just kind of went into this project, this four-hour miniseries, kind of with your own take, or...
Yeah.
And do you play the doctor?
I play the creator of the Institute.
Oh. Very excited.
Not half as excited as I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, Beer Mug with Richard Dreyfuss.
He's a dick, by the way.
He's not a dick at
He's
all.
He's a dick.
He sat and listened to 10 minutes of him talking.
You've heard the other pieces. My 7th grade teacher once took me to see Mr. Allen's Opus, and before I left, I was talking to a co-worker of mine about it. Come on!
Yeah!
The fact that you come up That's with a little bit of humor in response to Beer Mug's questions is remarkable.
The fact that Richard Dreyfuss did not pull out a weapon and
yes.
shoot Beer Mug in person on the spot is to his credit.
That's a hilarious answer.
Not as excited as I am.
Awesome.
We got to get best. Beer Mug back out on the red carpet.
Yes,
we do.
Immediately.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have John Kappa, who's written a book. He is a drug kingpin, former drug kingpin. Who apparently things did not go well for.
Got excited. He's a drug kingpin. That'd be Holden. No.
We have a football player by the name of Deshaun Jackson.
Oh, I hope he's okay. He had to leave the game last night.
He got injured,
ankle.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Is he still going to be able to use the phone? Or
I believe he'll be able to
okay.
pick up a phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Based on what I saw of the Eagles game yesterday, he wanted to leave the game.
he had a good game, actually. He was playing well, but it was the rest of the team, including both lines, that fell down on the job yesterday.
Plus, we mentioned earlier this morning, if you haven't heard yet, we are doing Breakfast with Mumford and Sons. We've got your tickets tomorrow morning on all new Kevin.